WBR, New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WBC.
I think we got guys who really want to get into the playoffs and who know how to do it. And I think that Max is a guy, especially watching as a bullpen guy, you got to pry the ball out of his cold, dead fingers in order to get him to stop pitching. I thrive off that. That fires me up.
Greeting cards have all been sent. The Christmas rush is through. But I still have one wish to make. A special one for you. Merry Christmas, darling. We're apart, that's true. But I can
Christmas coming early for New York Met fans like Sid Rosenberg, Bernard McGurk, and many, many others. You know, it's funny. We get this email from Matt Meany, who was promoted to program director a couple of weeks ago, with Bernie's blessing, of course. He loves Matt Meany. And I get this email yesterday. We get this email that starting tomorrow, which of course is today, this morning, we're going to start playing Christmas music every break, every rejoin. Me, I think it's too early, but I'm the guy that talks about holidays in October. Bernie can attest to that, so I'm not going to complain. But, when you consider that New York Met fans today now have added one of the best pitchers, not just in Major League Baseball, but in the history of Major League Baseball, Christmas music sounds great to me. So with that said, Bernard, Merry Christmas.
You got to believe, Sidney.
Oh, my God.
You got to believe, baby. I don't care what you are. Max Scherzer, $43 million a year. Wow.
That's a lot of money.
But you know what? It's very exciting. I mean, I've always just loved watching this guy. You know,
he's
a madman. I don't care where he was on the Nationals or out west or whatever the hell. Yeah, he's crazy. He's just fun to watch.
It's like Al Roboski used to be, the mad Hungarian. He talks to the ball. He gets all worked up on the mound.
And he's sweating. He's profusely up there. And he's pissed off. His eyes are bulging. He's just great drama, great to watch. I'm so glad he's on the Mets.
It is a great, great thing. Now we have to see, of course, if Jacob DeGrom can stay healthy. If Jacob stays healthy, and I know we sound a lot like Boomer Esiason and WFAN this morning, but there's a lot of you folks that have moved to this show because I talk sports on the fan for a long time, so you'll get Met talk from Boomer and from Sid and Bernie. Make your choice. But if Jacob DeGrom stays healthy, then that 1-2 punch of DeGrom and Scherzer could be, I use the word could, the best in Major League Baseball. We've done this before. I remember being at WFAN in the early 2000s, Bernie, and Steve Phillips was the GM. And I was hosting the midday show with Joe Beningo. Oh, the pain! And the Mets went out during the offseason, and they signed Mo Vaughn, and they signed Roberto Alomar, and they signed Jeremy Burnitz, and the year after, they got Tom Glavin, and we all had the Mets winning the World Series, and they sucked. They didn't suck. I mean, they actually blew a chance at the playoffs the last game of the season when Glavin gave up a touchdown in the first inning to the Florida Marlins, but they didn't get anywhere near we thought they would get. So you always got to be careful to award a team a World Series win in December.
You're telling me. I am the ultimate cynic, skeptic. I hate all the hype talk. I mean, even just recently with the Giants, the Saquon Barkley, we're going to win a Super Bowl, whatever. Yeah, I mean, and then everything fizzles out. The guy gets hurt or something. And, all this hype, this blah, blah, blah.
No, but this is worthy of the hype. I mean, the Mets signed three really good offensive players this weekend. This is worthy of the hype.
It's always worthy of the hype until it's not.
Exactly. So, again, it's only November the 30th, today being the last day of November, so it's an exciting day if you're a Mets fan. We are Met fans here, me and Bernard. Already got a text this morning from the Mooch, who used to own a piece of the Mets.
Oh, God.
I know. Still my friend. I'm sorry, folks. I don't get rid of my friends because of their politics.
We're having such a good segment.
Don't make me laugh today because I'm dying. That's another thing. Here I am all excited about the Mets and Christmas music, and I'm dying. Now, I don't have the Omicron. I don't have that.
You have cancer.
I may have that, yeah.
Okay.
I tell you, I went to the gym yesterday, and I did about 90 minutes on my shoulders, and I lifted the same exact weight I would do any other day of the week. There was no issue. And I walked back and forth 26 blocks. There was no issue. And I got home. I felt great. And I'm laying down watching TV, and out of nowhere, I start to sneeze and choke. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I couldn't fall asleep. I fell asleep about 11:30, and I slept all night. 4 hours. didn't get up in 4 hours. And now I got to work this morning, and again, I feel a little, if you know what I'm saying. So,
well, I am digging through my bag for a mask.
Yeah, right, you may want to wear it today.
This is 2 days in a row.
Well, yeah, I'm sick. I mean, I'm not dying. I don't have Omicron. Or I don't have. I've already had the COVID. I've already been vaccinated.
What have you been diagnosed with?
Nothing. I haven't gone to the doctor yet.
Oh, so you don't know what you have?
I have no idea.
And so, therefore, I don't know what I have either.
Correct. But we did this already. When I used to take the subways, and you come in and work with me every day, you'd be like, "Oh, come on! You're on the subways. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're still at the gym." And you ended up okay.
I don't care. I got either. Bigger fish to fry than worrying about getting a cold or some mild COVID.
Is that the Omicron you're talking about?
Whatever it is.
Well, you say got bigger fish to fry. I mean, Jeremy Powell, is that his name? He's about to shut down everything in this country. He's telling everybody.
I mean, I got my own health issues. You might remember. You might not. It doesn't matter.
No, you're fine. I moved past it.
Dr. Rosenberg says I'm fine. Thank you.
Are you not fine?
Whatever.
Not whatever.
I just have my my own things going on.
I know, but not whatever.
I mean, I don't care about a cough.
You don't care, right?
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
But if, God forbid, you have what you fear you may have, then my cough may actually hurt you. I don't know. How does that work?
That's why, believe it or not, that's one of the reasons why I got the booster.
Oh, you got the booster?
I did get the
booster. Oh, right, upstairs. That's right.
Yeah. Because in the event that I have that particular comorbidity,
right,
I won't die within 4 days after being infected with a mild, a mild strain of the virus.
You know, I was asking you every day. Every day. You know this. I was texting. I was asking you what's going on. You got the MRI right before the Thanksgiving holiday. Then you went away. And both of us did. And I didn't ask you yesterday because you were fine. You were doing the show. So I wanted to kind of stay away from it. But your reaction just now says to me that you haven't gotten all the answers and you still are a little nervous. So what is the deal? What's going on?
Well, I took the MRI last Monday.
Right.
Tuesday, they didn't have the results. Wednesday, the offices were closed. Thursday, Friday, closed. Yesterday, you call, and then they say, well, you have to come in for an appointment.
Oh.
The soonest you can come in for an appointment is Wednesday, which is tomorrow, so I'll find out tomorrow.
You find out tomorrow.
Okay. Exactly. In the meantime, it's on fire, bro.
I would turn your face the other way. When I sneeze, I'm supposed to have lunch this afternoon with Joe Tacopina at this really, really nice place right in this neighborhood. It's called Avra, maybe the best Greek restaurant in New York City. And he's making me crazy. Come for lunch, I'm buying, I want to talk, I want to hang out. And I don't know if I can do it. I just don't feel well enough. But maybe if he hears me this morning, he'll actually disinvite me. Don't do me any favors, Sid. Go home and get some rest, and that's it, which I won't do. I won't go home and get rest. That's the problem. I'll go to the gym. I have to go see Jen tomorrow at Dolce, get my Botox. Like, I don't go home and get rest. So it doesn't work for me. Like, even if I stayed home from work today, for example, I wouldn't be sleeping right now. I'd be up. Gabe is up, Ava's up, Danielle's up. I'd be up.
Well, you have a fairly small apartment. I guess you can't hide.
No.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Nowhere to hide.
That's too bad. So you might as well just follow up on the lunch and infect him with whatever the hell you have.
What the hell? Why not, right? Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
My big fat Greek a super spreader event.
That's it. So this Omicron thing, though, is all over the place. Every single morning show started today. Dr. Nicole Sapphire, Fox News, will join us at 8:40 this morning. Dr. Mark Siegel will join us at 7:40 on Friday. They say the next 2 weeks, for some reason, the next 2 weeks, we have to wait and see what happens with this Omicron. But these psychos, these hysterical psychos in D.C., like Powell and others, are already pushing the panic button. Business is going to be terrible. The economy is going to take a hit. Mask up. Shut it down. So without even knowing anything, it looks like this is about to become another DEFCON 5 with this new variant.
Yeah, they're unwarranted panic is completely what it is. We played the South African doctor yesterday morning. She said it's no problem. We had a few mild, we had some cases. They were very mild. Nobody went to the hospital. Scratchy throat. They called for a couple of days. Kind of sounds familiar. And then it goes away. No big deal. That's
right.
What she said. The lady that, and by the way, that clip where they played it all day long yesterday. Thank you. Yes, I had it first here. But that's what she said. That's what everybody says. Anybody rational is saying the same thing.
Well, not everybody.
There's not one person that's been hospitalized.
That's true. But not everybody's saying that. I mean, like these other
The
media's going crazy.
The people that are involved in it, like, for example, the lady that discovered it, that's what she's saying. And other rational doctors, the other people who want to push the panic button, the usual suspects, the petty tyrants, These people are the ones that are, you know, filling us full of fear, unwarranted fear at this point.
She's actually on, of all places, that South African doctor is actually on this morning, CNN.
Dr. Coetzee.
Yes, of all places, CNN. And they're in the news. Talked about Max Scherzer to the Mets. That's the biggest story locally. Talked about Omicron. Now let's get to CNN. Chris Cuomo, very simply, Bernard McGurk. I want your prediction. You're great at this. Chris Cuomo, does he get fired? Does he keep his job?
Well, he gets fired.
He does.
And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what clue I have that leads me to that conclusion. First of all, they said they're going to decide his fate in several days. He's got his own issues with people making accusations, yeah. You know, internally.
Has he been suspended?
No. In fact, okay. That leads me to this. He was on the air last night.
Right.
And he didn't address the fact that he may be fired, you know, imminently.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. But what he did do, ironically or strangely enough, he actually criticized the media for overhyping the Omicron, what do I sound like, Joe Biden?
Right.
Omicron. He actually slammed the media. Listen to Chris Cuomo from last night.
To my Jewish brothers and sisters, enjoy night two of the Festival of Lights. And I hope Thanksgiving was a reminder for everybody.
I mean, we didn't need this,
really.
Of the
good people and the good things in your life. Lord knows we could use the help, right? Now, I will take a little bit of a different take than a lot of other media. I don't know that it helped this Thanksgiving holiday to have the media blasting word of this new COVID variant, Omicron. Of course, the information is news, but the timing, the tone, the hype goes way beyond that which is justified by the urgency at this point. We don't know that much.
So he's straying from the fake news narrative. He's completely straying from the fake news narrative.
Yeah.
Strays,
yeah.
Which leads me to believe that he knows he's going to be fired.
Right.
And he's auditioning right there by criticizing his own colleagues.
Fox News.
He's actually auditioning for Newsmax.
He won't get the Newsmax, but Fox News maybe.
No, not Fox. I mean,
why? They've got Harold Ford. They've got Donna Brazile.
By the way, he won't make it to either one.
I know that. But you're funny. We're going to talk, you know, later on this program about something. I'm dying to talk to you about it, okay?
I don't care.
No,
let's go. Let's talk now.
No, I got to wait. It's too good to waste it at 6 o'clock. But you're a psycho, just so you know.
Yeah,
I know you think you're not, and you're a psycho.
No, excuse me. I know that I am.
No, you're crazy, bro. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you exactly why later. Like, even now, just now, like, you hated that clip because the beginning, Chris Cuomo.
It was completely
was humanized.
Unnecessary, unwarranted.
Right.
It had nothing to do with what we were talking about.
You don't want to hear him wish people a happy Hanukkah.
Just get to the damn, the crux of right. the, I'm still trying to teach these guys.
You're crazy.
I'm still trying to teach these guys. I know you like these guys. You want to humanize them. I don't.
No, I don't like Chris Cuomo.
Okay.
Not even a little.
All right. I don't want to humanize. We didn't need that. It wasn't part of what I asked for.
What does it make you mad for, though? Like
if
Scaramucci texts me, you get upset.
I didn't.
If Chris Cuomo wishes happy Hanukkah, you get upset. Why?
I'm sure Joy Reid said happy Hanukkah last night.
You're probably true.
I don't want to play it on my air, though.
Okay. So don't do it again.
So
you hear that?
So you cut that part out and
Please. Just
leave the part where he says the media is overhyping Omicron, okay?
Just leave that. We don't want any niceties out of these people. We hate these people.
Exactly. I mean, unless I ask for it. And if I ask for it, then I'll leave it in there.
Right. So take out the one. You got Joe Biden yesterday, too, wishing everybody a happy Hanukkah. Get rid of it. You have that, right? Him and Kamala Harris?
No.
Oh, okay, good. Well, if you did, get rid of it. We don't want any of that.
Noted.
Trump said it yesterday. We'll play it. You have it?
No.
I sense a little sarcasm out of...
It's a lot of sarcasm.
No, none at all. None at all. Totally noted.
Yeah.
That was my sarcasm, not you, you moron.
I welcome the constructive
criticism.
No,
he's not talking to you idiot. He's talking to me with the Trump stuff. But that's okay. This is going to be such a good show today. I can't wait. I'm so excited about this. You have no idea. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222.
Get him out.
Off to a fiery start on the Bernie and Sid show. Max Scherzer, Omicron, Chris Cuomo. That is only the appetizer. We got a huge entree and dessert coming up. Three great guests. Keep it right here. This is going to be a wild show. Bernie and Sid.
Holiday, when I'm near to you, the lights on my tree.
Entertaining and informative talk for New York. Streaming now on your smart speakers. Play 77 WABC. right now on 77 WABC. Stay informed with Bernie and Sid in the morning. Then at noon, it's Charlie Kirk. And at 1:15, it's Greg Kelly on 77 WABC.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around.
Back here in the Bernie and Sid show. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it, bro. Yeah, they have the Christmas trees downstairs. They have the wooden soldier as you walk in here. It's festive. Come on, man. I think, what is December is starting?
Tomorrow.
It's tomorrow, right?
Yeah. It's exciting.
It is. It really. They're going to light the tree in Rockefeller Center tomorrow.
They are tomorrow. And I drove past the Plaza Hotel this morning, and the menorah is up. Me, John, and Margo will light night 5 coming up on Thursday, and they've got a beautiful winter scene outside the hotel as well. Up and down Fifth Avenue right now, it is absolutely festive and gorgeous.
It is, yeah, put you right in the mood. So back here on the Bernie and Sid, you heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app, ladies and gentlemen. Download that app. You know, I told you yesterday, Tom Suozzi, the congressman from Long Island, is going to make a decision on whether or not he's going to run for governor. And he made that decision. He made that announcement yesterday. He's running. Yeah. Tom Suozzi is running. Apparently, a woman governor or a black female governor is just unacceptable to Tom Suozzi. Or a black man with Tourette's, a black man with a handicap, is just too much for Tom Suozzi. This white supremacist, he doesn't want to see anybody break a glass ceiling. So this liberal Democrat white supremacist says, I'll save the day. I'll come in and I'll run for governor, says Tom Suozzi. Plus the fact that he might lose, the red wave is going to overtake him in November. I mean, and he knows that, he sees the writing on the wall. He says, what the hell am I going to do? I'm going to run for governor.
I may be a white supremacist, too, because I want to see Kathy Hochul, Letitia James, and Jamani Williams all lose and lose badly. So you want to put me in that category with Tom Suozzi? You know what's funny about Suozzi? I never met him, never talked to him. He was on with you and I Columbus Day. Jennifer Grodd booked him for you and I because he's Italian. He was on Columbus Day.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember that. Later on that morning, I went to the Columbus Day parade. You remember the Cadillac, the Loris, the whole thing. And who walks up to me right there, right before the start of the parade, as I'm sitting in the convertible Cadillac? Tom Suozzi.
And, you know, he is.
Very nice guy.
Not only a very nice guy, he has a great pedigree. I mean, war heroes all around, his dad, all this, that, the other. And I remember him when he was executive, when he was a county exec of Westchester County. But he's still a liberal. I mean, obviously my sarcasm is dripping right here. He's a white supremacist. But you know what? That's what they do. They play the race card. I'll play it as well. I'll do the same damn thing. The only thing when we spoke to Tom Suozzi is when he talked about, I want to help get Joe Biden's agenda through, the Build Back Better agenda. I just wanted to throw up. That's all. He's fine. He's great. He's Italian. Columbus Day, a great pedigree, as I said. But you want to pass Biden's agenda? It sounds like a fool talking. I want to pass Joe Biden's agenda. Anyway, Kathy Hochul, of course, has declared a state of emergency in New York. Again, you heard Chris Cuomo even on CNN saying the media hype and the petty tyrant hype over this Omicron variant is way, way over the top. And this idiot that passes a state of emergency starting Friday, no elective surgeries. What? There's like 3 cases in Canada. They're all very, very mild. Whatever. Either way, there's this Real Tina. Our friend Real Tina is running against AOC. She's mounting a real campaign. She's soliciting and receiving a lot of donations. And just, for laughs, here's a Real Tina talking about Kathy Hochul, again, just for laughs.
So Kathy wants to shut down, or did shut down, elective surgery for the new strain. Yet, Kathy, you're the one that can put mandates on everybody for their jobs, okay? So I thought it works, right? I thought it works. Now this new strain comes out of nowhere. Kathy, give me a fucking break. You're just a power-hungry fucking c***. There, I said it, motherfucker. Fuck out of here.
Oh, my God. I hope she gets enough, I don't know, votes or whatever to get on stage with some mandatory debate with that idiot AOC. Either way, I mean, AOC owns that district. We know that. But it would be an interesting back and forth, to say the least. Listen, a more serious politician, this, and I talked about this yesterday. And again, I came in here yesterday and I'm like, there's nobody talking about the Waukesha massacre. You know, I'm like, why? They talked about Charlottesville. One guy drove through a crowd. One white supremacist drove through a crowd. They talked about it for years. For years, for God's sakes.
Still talking about it.
You had a black racist drive through a Christmas parade, killed kids and grandmas, and everybody forgot about it. Completely, totally forgot. Well, they didn't. It turns out they didn't. I'm glad I brought it up yesterday morning.
Which, by the way, saw another kid died yesterday. The sixth person to die, and this was a little boy. Now six dead. A little boy died yesterday.
Well, yes, the 8-year-old boy.
The 8-year-old, yes.
Yeah. But he had died at this time yesterday morning. He had already passed away.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Sadly, terribly sadly. Awful. And one girl who's she's begging doctors to glue her back together again. I mean, and these animals, these savages, these just cold, callous fake news people and these Democrats. Well, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have not actually visited. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden visited Jacob Blake's family in Wisconsin. They don't want anything to do with this. In fact, she was asked, was Jen Psaki, about Biden visiting Waukesha at any time soon. She says, you know, it's too much trouble, blah, blah, blah. But you know who didn't forget about it? Was a guy named Ron DeSantis, a governor of Florida. Now, what does he have to do with Wisconsin? Who knows? All I know is he was talking in front of a bunch of law enforcement people yesterday. Ron DeSantis. These are the kind of people. This is the kind of guy we need in politics. Maybe at the presidential level. I love Ron DeSantis. Listen to what he said about Waukesha, the Waukesha massacre by the black racists. Take a listen.
Is that how it works? The SUVs, they just drive by themselves? This just kind of happened? And they say, oh, this was a big accident. You never actually hear the discussion about who committed this. What was the motivation? This guy was a career criminal, let out on, didn't really have any bail, basically, should not have even been on the street, had clear anti-white animus, and this was an intentional act. And it seems like, you know, for corporate press, they're more apt to characterize a parent who goes to a school board meeting to protest bad policies as a domestic terrorist than somebody who intentionally rams an SUV into a crowd of innocent people.
Yeah, and of course he's talking about the beginning, the CNN tweet, which I alluded to, read it to you yesterday. A car plowed into a Christmas parade, killing six. A car, not a person, not a black racist, none of that. No. A car. That was CNN. CNN, ladies and gentlemen. Next thing you know, we'll have Chris Cuomo tonight slamming CNN over that tweet because, again, his days are numbered and he's trying to suck up and get a job, maybe with Newsmax. Although he'll never get it. Maybe OAN. Who knows? Some fringe.
OAN is not going to hire Chris Cuomo. That I can promise you.
Fringe or, you know, whatever, right?
I tell you what, he's got a shot, leaning. To be honest. All kidding aside, is one of those, like, network shows. ABC, NBC, The Today Show, Good Morning America. He's good looking. He is good looking. He's in good shape. He's a liberal.
Yeah, but he's got a Me Too problem.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, a little bit
but,
of a
but not
a
really. Bit. But not really.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
I think it's like the Donald Trump thing. It hasn't really been. It's just too easy to make it look that way because we hate him. Not really. There's not any real evidence that he did that.
He's got a journalistic ethic problem.
That he's got. But so does George Stephanopoulos.
And a tangential Me Too problem.
So does Lester Holt have a journalistic issue. So does George Stephanopoulos. So does Norah O'Donnell. So does every single one of them, basically.
All the fake news people?
Robin Roberts,
yeah,
every one of them.
When they all start turning on their own,
right.
In other words, they circle the wagons and he's outside the circle. So I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. We'll find out. But also, I mentioned Enos Kanter. Enos Kanter yesterday became a United States citizen. I've been talking about Enos, you and I both, for a long time. And he finally became a citizen, changed his name to Enos Kanter Freedom. And who knew when we started talking about Enos Kanter that he would end up becoming a citizen and then on the same night end up on Fox News on Tucker Carlson's show. Take a listen to this.
It seems like people who move here from countries that are not free appreciate the freedoms here much more than a lot of us who grew up with those freedoms. Have you noticed that?
You know, I feel like I'm going to just say this and I'm going to be honest. People should feel really blessed and lucky to be in America because, you know, they love to criticize it. But when you live a country like Turkey or you know, China or somewhere else, you will appreciate the freedoms you have here.
Yes.
You know, that is so I feel like they should just they should just keep their mouth shut and stop criticizing the greatest nation in the world. And they should focus on, you know, their freedoms and their human rights and their democracies.
Keep your mouth shut, LeBron.
It's weird, though.
Keep your mouth shut, Colin.
He was actually on with John Berman and CNN yesterday morning and Tucker Carlson and Fox News last night. He does the whole circuit. He did MSNBC 2 days ago. So it's not really like he is a exclusive Fox News guy, CNN guy, and quite frankly, and I like Dinas, he was on the Knicks a couple of years ago. That's when I started talking about him. Years ago, he was on the Knicks. I need a guy like Kevin Durant to come out and say something like that, not a guy that plays about 3 minutes a night for the Boston Celtics.
I'll take what we can get. Enes Kanter is the hero of the day, yesterday anyway, saying the right things. Keep your mouth shut. Keep a perspective. And the point that Tucker made is that it's people that come from places that they want to turn this country into. That recognize what's happening. That's the key. That's and you see that from cab drivers to professional athletes to all kinds of people. Look, traffic and sports is coming up next. Right now it's time for the 77 WABC Clip of the Day. Listen to Larry Kudlow this and every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Here, Larry talks Earl.
We have oil. We did 13 million barrels a day pre-pandemic. We're only doing 11 million and change now. Even though demand has skyrocketed, our guys don't want to make big investments, and they're slow to turn the production spigot back on because of the penalties, the taxes, the regulations, the fees, the hostility of the Biden administration.
There you have it, Larry Kudlow, heavy hitter, every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my God!
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Obviously, the biggest story of the day is Max Scherzer is now a New York Met. The three-time Cy Young Award winner coming to New York after years in Washington, Los Angeles. One of the best pitchers in baseball. Detroit, too, obviously. Now, this guy is a stud. 37 years old. It's a lot of money. I get it. 3 years, $130 million, $43 million a year. But this guy pitched in the ERA last year, in the twos, I should say. And he makes quite a 1-2 punch with Jacob DeGrom. So it's official now. The next 3 years, Max Scherzer is, in fact, a New York Met after the Mets had a big weekend signing Escobar, Kana, and Sterling Marte as well. So look out for the New York Mets in 2022. Tiger Woods spoke for the first time yesterday since his awful car accident about his future in the game of golf. Here's some Tiger for you.
I think something that is realistic is playing the tour one day, never full-time ever again. Pick and choose is an unfortunate reality, but it's my reality. And I understand it and I accept it.
Monday Night Football last night, it was Washington getting past Seattle, 17-15. Antonio Gibson, 111 yards on the ground. The Washington football team now 5-6 and making a run at that NFC East with the Dallas Cowboys. Seattle, they fell to 3-8. Later on tonight on Flappish Avenue in Brooklyn, a big matchup, the 11-9 Knicks taking on the 14-6 Brooklyn Nets. And on the ice tonight, you've got, who do we got tonight? We got the Devils hosting the Sharks. The Islanders and Flyers postponed last night. One college football note, Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly, he's moving on to LSU. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out today and every day at PeerlessBoilers.com and PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
News, opinion, and information. Never miss a headline. Like 77 WABC on Facebook.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. 77 WABC.
This is a song that there's a lot of Christmas songs out there, and not too many Hanukkah songs. Wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights.
instead of one day of presents, we have eight crazy nights.
Oh, thank God for Adam Sandler. My God. The only song we've got. It's all we've got. No one loves Christmas more than me. I had the biggest Christmas party in Brooklyn for the better part of 25 years, but thank God for Adam Sandler. So I'm going to do a little Adam Sandler story here, like Bernie's George Carlin. Bernie's George Carlin story yesterday was great. Can't believe I actually went drinking with him and Laura Ingraham. I'm so jealous.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you invite me? Did I know you then?
No, this is actually before you even got in the business.
Oh, okay.
I believe this is before
the rehab, probably.
It was like 98 or 99 or something like that.
No, I was in Florida. I was in the business, but no one knew about
well,
it.
Well, either way, yeah. Well, we did a thing with Tony Hendra for New York Magazine.
Yeah.
Taste testing microbrews, micro beers. Spent the whole day drinking with Laura, George Carlin, and Tony Hendra.
What a spectacular.
It was terrific.
Sounds like an awesome time. So a few years ago, every year, we would vacation at the Boca Resort, because we're Jews. That's what Jews do. They go to Boca, or they go to Palm Beach, you know.
If you have the money.
If you have the money. That's a good point, Bernie. You're right. I didn't have the money, but I was famous, so they took care of me. So I would go to the resort, and Adam Sandler's mother lives on the Boca Del Rey border and is a woman about town. So Sandler, even though he lives in California, spends time in New York, spends a lot of time, believe it or not, in Boca. A lot of time. And this year, a couple of years ago, I was with Bernard, in fact, I showed up at the resort, and I walk into the lobby, and who's sitting there with his tube socks up to his knees, Los Angeles Laker basketball shorts, a shredded, like, sweatshirt from, like, 1985, hair a complete mess, and white zinc all around his face, Adam Sandler. I swear, Bernie, that's exactly what he looked like.
I'm not surprised at all.
A messy Jewish kid.
Look, you just look at the way he appears in the movies with Kevin James and Chris Rock.
Yes.
He's just a regular guy. Right?
Grown-ups.
Yeah.
Exactly, right.
By the way, he was a guy who went to the IHOP out in Long Island with his daughter, and when they refused to serve him, he didn't say, yo, I'm in Adam Sandler, or whatever it was that happened. He didn't invoke his status. He's
not
just a regular dude.
He actually went back. Remember that? He went back
and took
care of the person?
To make light of it. Not in anger, but just to say, you know, I understand.
The complete antithesis of Reese Witherspoon, or me for that matter, Sid Rosenberg. So I walk into the lobby, and there's a couple of people like, oh my God, there's Sandler. And the next thing you know, I get bum-rushed by some guy. He's an attorney. And he runs over, he goes, oh my God, Sid Rosenberg. I go, hi, nice to meet you. I go, do you realize that like 5 feet away from me is Adam Sandler? And he's like, I don't care. You're Bernie and Sid. I listen to you guys every single day. I love Bernie. I love you. I know that's Danielle, right? That's Gabe, right? That's Abel, right? And this guy is like yelling and screaming. He's 5 feet away from Adam Sandler. He couldn't give a rat's ass. All he wanted to do was meet me. It was one of the, and you know, I talked about this for days back then. This was one of the greatest moments of my life. Adam Sandler.
And then, correct me if I'm wrong, but you had an encounter with Sandler himself afterward, no?
We did have a very nice encounter. He had been on my shows in Miami before. Every year for a couple of years, Bernard, he would promote a show during the Super Bowl, a movie, I should say. So he was on Radio Row with me at the Super Bowl 3 or 4 consecutive years. So he knew who I was. So he walked over, he said hello, the whole thing. And I saw him about 3 or 4 times during that vacation. Every time he was very, very friendly. Very nice. You'd never know he was making $25 million a movie.
One of the nicest guys.
Nicest guy. You'd never know. And by the way, I have no idea whether Sandler likes Donald Trump or Joe Biden. I mean, my guess is that he's a Democrat, I guess. But have you ever heard Adam Sandler talk about politics?
No. He's smart enough to stay out. He's not one of these, hey, I'm an actor, so I know everything, and this is the way I feel, and everybody else should shut up. You deplorable should shut your mouths, you Nazis. He's no Seth Rogen. He's no Reese Witherspoon. He's no Mark Ruffalo, who actually sides with child rapists.
Yes, he did. You know, Rich Lowry was on this show yesterday. And not only is Rich a great guest on radio, he also does a very good job on television when Chuck Todd used to have him on. But then he became too rational for Chuck Todd. He writes these columns, and they're syndicated for National Review. And his column today is syndicated in the New York Post. And Bernie, just moments ago, mentioned LeBron James when he brought up Enos Kanter. And again, my frustration is, while Enos is a great story, and anybody who's on our side is a good thing, he's irrelevant in the NBA. I wish it was a guy that was like an all-star who was pounding LeBron James. It doesn't happen because of the NBA mafia. But Rich Lowry wrote a story in today's New York Post, and he just eviscerates LeBron James. Talking about how he's been complete, talks about everything, and knows nothing. But when it comes to China, he has been really, really, really quiet. He titles the article, LeBron James, a hypocrite. He takes LeBron James to the woodshed this morning.
Well, I'm the best player in the world.
Well, that may be true.
LeBron actually said, I've been to Tokyo and I didn't see anything wrong. He said everything looked fine to me.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. With regards to China.
What a moron.
What an idiot.
Oh, my God. He didn't really say that.
Probably not.
Oh, okay. had me for a second. You had me.
Henry, one of these days.
You had me. A couple of calls here quickly. We've got three guests coming on today, and there's so much news to get to. This guy's called for 2 days already. Peter in Brooklyn on line one. Talking early. Peter, good morning, pal. How are you?
How are you, Cindy? I'm an old Midwood High School guy. I'm pretty sure I knew your dad. I used to go to Midwood Field, and while they were watching the game, they were older than me, were talking about picking the football games on Sunday. I'm pretty sure one of them was your dad, and they were joking around.
Well, I will tell you this. I will tell you this. We went to Midwood Field quite a bit because my cousin, Scott Arbuse, who's married to my cousin, Audra Krell, was the 99th best high school football player in the country when he was in high school. And he went to Midwood. And his father, Al Arbuse, is maybe the most famous city football coach ever. He passed away a couple of years ago. And I played Little League football at Kings Bay in Brooklyn with Scott. So we became friendly with Al and Diane, his parents. So he went to Midwood Field quite a bit to watch those games because the coach, Al Arbuse, was a dear, dear friend. So there you have it.
One guy was collecting money, and I was a kid.
Nobody's collecting money, Peter, you idiot. Thank you for the phone call. My father was a chemical engineer, a nice Jewish guy. No one's collecting money. Here's, God, you were doing fine up to that point. Here's Danny on Long Island on line three. Good morning, Danny.
I try to bring the level of intelligence up a little
bit. I mean, geez.
You want to spit the coffee out. Listen, you know, Kathy Hochul, my son's in the hospital business, and guess what happens the minute you announce that for some unknown reason we're going to cancel elective surgery? You know what happens? Pink slips, because this is a business. Just like last time when all the elective surgery, all those nurses, all those doctors, all those professionals were laid off, they've already been notified that if this goes down in the Christmas season, you're out of a job for no reason whatsoever. So these people who have never had a real job in their life sit in these, they make these stupid decisions, fear-mongering, and have real-life consequences for people. I'm so done with this. I can't take it anymore, Sid. I'm going to lose my friggin' mind.
Well, listen, I'm with you. In fact, I saw who was saying this yesterday. I forget who it was on Instagram, which you could follow this show at It's Bernie and Sid, at It's Bernie and Sid, or follow me at Rosenberg.Sydney, at Rosenberg.Sydney. Oh, I know who it was. It was our good buddy Sean Farash, who there's a good chance I'll see New Year's Eve at the America First warehouse. And he was saying, don't comply. Whatever they tell you to do now, you got your vaccinations like me and Bernie have done. Bernie got the booster. You wore your masks. You did everything they want. Don't comply anymore. That's it. It's over. Enough is enough. And, of course, we felt that way for quite some time.
Oh, absolutely. Remember we had a caller yesterday as well who surmised, speculated that maybe because of the mandate on health workers, Kathy Hochul is eliminating these elective surgeries because she knows there's not enough healthcare workers to go around for the big stuff, even, and this is her way of minimizing that impact. That was according to that call, and I heard many people repeat it yesterday during the day yesterday. By the way, speaking of Hanukkah, Jews, this is getting no play anywhere whatsoever. Out in Brooklyn, there are three women who are going around, going up to people in Jewish attire, Orthodox, religious Jews,
right,
and smacking them around. They smacked around a three-year-old girl.
Really?
Yeah, in Brooklyn. This happened. This happened on more than one occasion. The three-year-old girl was just yesterday.
But women are committing these crimes?
Three women, and believe me, they're not white supremacists.
I gotcha.
But the media is not, not covering that right
of
here in the middle of Hanukkah. I mean, come on. Wait, is this Waukesha all over again? What's going on?
Dov Hyken needs to call in. Dov actually called me about 2 weeks ago and said, are you mad at me? I don't hear from you anymore. So if you're listening, Dov, call in about the story Bernie just talked about. Helena, South Orange, New Jersey, online for this morning, talking about Hanukkah. Good morning, Helena. How are you?
Good. First of all, I'd like to wish you and your family a good Hanukkah. Nurse, I say a good Hanukkah.
You too. Thank you. Is there a second
and,
of all?
Unfortunately, it's a hard time for me, too.
Why?
So I know where you're coming from.
What's the matter? What happened with you? Tell us.
I'd rather not go into it on the phone.
All right.
If you really want to know, I'll give my number.
All right, I'll put you on hold, and I'll call you later.
How about lunch?
Let's go for lunch. In fact, you can meet me and Joe Tacopina at Avra later on. No, seriously, I'll call you. Take, what's this kid's name, Philip? Philip, take her number. One more call. Rich East Meadow on line two. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, fellas. Happy holidays. You're the best, Bernie. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you,
Democrats
bro.
You're welcome. Democrats want to do Omicron, whether it's true or not, let's do it. I got a job for Tom Suozzi. When Joe Biden, just like he sent the Delta virus to our area, to his district, all these Democrats that are concerned about COVID and the spread, they need to confront the leader of their party and find out where they're going to be sending this deadly strand of coronavirus. That's about it. Thank you. Hold them accountable.
Hold them accountable. I'm not sure exactly where they're going to send it. But look, one of the things is the travel ban on Africa. Of course, we noted yesterday the hypocrisy. The race-baiting creep Kamala and the race-baiting imbecile Biden, they put out tweets. President Trump's ban on travel from Africa is racist. It's racist. It's racist. And the same thing for China, xenophobic. But the other thing is no restrictions at the southern border. How the hell do you reconcile the two of those things? I'll never know.
Doesn't make any sense. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Three great guests today, Bo Dietl, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, star of Real Housewives of Atlanta, Portia Williams, new book, new TV show. She's in New Jersey signing books later on today. It's going to be a madhouse, trust me. No masks, I guarantee you. And 1,000 people online. I promise you that. All three of them stopping by today. Plus, Lydia reports, Beat Bernie, and all your phone calls and a lot of news. And, of course, the big sports story here in town, Max Scherzer is now a New York Met. All that and more on this Christmas edition of Bernie and Sid.
Stay entertained and informed now with Bernie and Sid in the morning. Then tonight, it's the great one. Mark Levin at 6.
This is the great scandal.
On 77 WABC.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
So at 8 o'clock on Saturday night, believe it or not, all three major networks, Channel 2 had this, Frosty the Snowman. Channel 4 had The Grinch That Stole Christmas. And Channel 7 had Santa Claus Is Coming to Town with the Burgermeister Meister Burger, who tripped over the toy and broke his ankle. That was on 8 o'clock on Saturday. And I'm like, here we go, 2 days after Thanksgiving. And on top of that, next Saturday, December the 11th, in Prospect Park in Brooklyn, I'll be running the Frosty 5K race, where folks will actually dress up as Frosty the Snowman and do a 5K race in Brooklyn next Saturday.
Will you dress up?
I may have to.
Come on.
It's part of the whole thing.
Come on, get into it, bro.
Yeah, I think I'm going to.
Don't be a Scrooge.
No, I'm going to do it. So I'm going to dress up as Frosty next Saturday. And then, of course, I've got the hip marathon coming up in March.
Just don't fall. I mean, I don't want to see Frosty the Snowman tripping and
Could happen.
Getting up off the ground bleeding.
Could happen. I tell you, one of the oddest things.
Bad look.
I used to go to Disney every year for their marathon. And, you know, you'd have guys who were, like, in great shape, like you and I, dressed as Snow White, Cinderella, running this marathon at Disney. It was odd. It was different.
Funny. That's funny.
Yeah, it was different.
Yo, that's hilarious, bro.
Folks, go to WABCRadio.com right now and register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee is proud to be the official coffee of us. We are Bernie and Sid in the morning here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Register now and good luck. Bo Dietl, the great one, next hour. Lydia reports. And Dr. Nicole Sapphire in the 8 o'clock hour. Housewives of Atlanta star Portia Williams and Beat Bernie in the 9 o'clock hour. Three great hours. Come your way. Frosty with Bernie and Sid.
For Frosty the Snowman.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Yeah. Let's do it. Is this Bing Crosby?
Yeah, this is Elton John.
Oh, my bad. I mean, sometimes it's just think I'm serious.
I think he does, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
He's a great kid and
I'm
a
very
tremendous sport up, but he's really not that bright. He's not that bright.
No, this is Elton John.
Yeah, you're close. Big Crosby, Elton John. Who can tell the difference?
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere, and we love Justin Ellick. He really is good. He just works his butt off.
Yep.
Excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen. We're heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app. We're also simulcast on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. And you can watch us, folks, on your smart TVs, on your computers at WABCradio.tv. All right, a couple of things here, Rob. Ghislaine Maxwell trial. That's going down yesterday. By the way, I don't feel any safer that she's in prison or that she's in trial.
I don't care about the story even.
But here's what's interesting. James Comey's daughter, remember, he protected Hillary Clinton during the 2020 campaign?
Former head of the FBI,
2016 campaign. Yeah. His daughter is one of the prosecutors. That's A.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the judge was appointed by Obama.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, again, it's conspiracy theories, protecting the Clintons. I mean, you put it past any of these people? I don't,
but I think she's going away for a very, very, very long time. I really do. Yeah. I think they're going to make a nice example out of her. I really do.
And by the way, all right. Does that make you feel safer?
No, I don't care. Listen, if Jeffrey Epstein was out, I wouldn't feel any less safe.
She groomed girls for Jeffrey Epstein. He's the guy. He was really the... He was the animal. He was the monster.
Right.
She was no, you know, day at the beach, but...
I understand, but we both have daughters, for example. Your daughter, lovely, lovely girl. My daughter, Ava, not so lovely, tough, but I love her. Neither one of our daughters would end up in Jeffrey Epstein's mansion at some island banging him. So while Jeffrey Epstein was a lowlife and a scumbag, and I'm happy he's dead, and this Ghislaine Maxwell is
a
lowlife, these girls, you know, how did these girls get there?
Well, yeah, in other words, yeah, so she, quote-unquote, groomed them.
Yeah.
But did she, you know... Put a gun to their head?
Right. Remember that guy that actually went into the bedroom with that young girl in Utah, Elizabeth Smart, kidnapped her from her bedroom?
Of course.
Took her into the forest and raped her for 6 months. One of the worst stories ever. Thank God she got home and she's safe.
There goes your missing white girl syndrome on display right there.
Right. That was like one of the first ones. That's a very good call, Bernard. But the point is, that's what this guy did. He abducted her. That wasn't the case with these girls. Again, they were innocent young girls, and he promised them the world, and they fell for it. But at the end of the day, I don't believe that Jeffrey Epstein and or Ghislaine Maxwell make this world any less safe. I don't care.
Well, exactly. But again,
give her the death chamber or let her walk out. I don't care. Either way.
But the question, of course, did Epstein actually kill himself, and are they protecting,
that's what I want to know.
Protecting the Clintons?
What do you think?
And that's why I threw in those... I don't know. I mean, it's all suspicious. Remember, it was Loretta Lynch that met Bill Clinton on the tarmac back in the summer of 2016. It was James Comey who exonerated Hillary Clinton when she should have been indicted in 2016. Now his daughter is actually prosecuting Maxwell, and Clinton has close ties to Epstein. And whatever. I just wanted to throw that out there just for the record, ladies and gentlemen. And this Jussie Smollett. This guy, he's being tried on federally disorderly conduct charges. Again, I asked yesterday, can he be charged with being a racist asshole and filing false charges? 3 years later, this guy's being, either way, whatever. This guy, he needs a good ass whooping. It was Kamala Harris who put out a tweet in the middle of all this who said that Jussie Smollett has been the victim of a high-tech lynching. He's a really nice guy, blah, blah, blah. And then he was on Good Morning America where they gave him the, you know, the big celebrity treatment in the middle. When it was clear that this was a complete and total hoax.
Well, it was really Robin Roberts. That was one of the more embarrassing moments. I know she's great, cancer victim. I happen to like Robin at times. But she really, really showed her true colors during that interview. When those true colors, you could say the same thing about Gayle King and Joy Reid and even Michael Strahan. She was really embarrassing during that conversation.
So bad, so bad. And Strahan, what he did to the Bachelor guy, Chris Harrison. I mean, there's something going on in Good Morning America that I don't even want to talk about right now. But listen, Joe Biden yesterday came out. He gave a speech on this stupid Omicron thing, and he was supposed to give another speech, a press conference again. He only took, what, 4 or 5 questions? But he was so rattled and confused during this press conference, they canceled the second thing that he was supposed to talk about, the supply chain.
Which is more important.
Right, and this is why, because listen to this little clip of Joe Biden during this very brief speech and taking some of the questions and answers, confused, calling on the reporters. Take a listen.
As we enter the month of December,
this month compared to where we were last Christmas? Questions.
Should Americans be worried, sir?
Let me call on Nancy Bloomberg. Let me call on Alexis. Alexis.
Alex?
We've got two Alex. Alex Reuters.
Yes.
And so the other Alex doesn't have a heart attack. I want to call on him.
Mr. President, hi. Two female Alexes.
I'm not an Alex, but I'd love to ask one question.
So there you get the idea. It was just complete chaos. And then it was after that. They canceled the presser for the supply chain, which is a big problem. But this guy is when we're going to talk to Dr. Mark Siegel, I heard him say it. Just look at Joe Biden's, the way he walks, his gait, G-A-I-T. He walks like a wooden soldier. He looks really, really bad. There's something wrong with this guy. Nobody wants to talk about it. But that's one of the reasons why they canceled the second presser, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Kamala Harris and Sneaky Pete Buttigieg, Creepy Kamala, the race-baiting bimbo, and the incompetent little boy mayor from South Bend, Indiana, they're going to be in North Carolina for some reason together to show that, hey, listen, we're all good. I'm not vying for her job or any of that stuff.
Actually, they've already kind of intimated, it's all over the news today, that that's going to be the ticket in 2024. Buttigieg and Harris.
Well, the speculation is also they want to get rid of Harris. And one of the ways to do that, without upsetting everybody, is to appoint her to the Supreme Court. What's his name? There's an old guy on the Supreme Court. When he dies, whatever. Uh-huh. And he doesn't want to quit.
Yeah, what's his name? He's really old.
Yeah, is it Breyer?
I think it is.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, there's that. They're going to be together. But listen to Sneaky Pete, and he gives up. He says the quiet part out loud about rising gas prices. You heard smart-ass Psaki say the same thing about, well, if you don't like the high gas prices, buy electric cars. Take a listen.
There is more envisioned in the Build Back Better law. I'll give you one example. It contains incentives to make it more affordable to buy an electric vehicle, up to a $12,500 discount, in effect, for families thinking about getting an EV. Families that, once they own that electric vehicle, will never have to worry about gas prices again.
You know how much electric vehicles go for? I mean, they're upwards of $100,000.
Is that right?
Yeah. And you know, who's getting hurt at the pump? Not people who can afford $100,000 cars. This little creep, these arrogant people, and this is their whole game, is to get rid of our you know, plentiful energy reserves and not to use, to avail ourselves of them, and end the energy sector altogether. As you know, we've talked about it a long time, and the guy gives up the game right there, the little jerk, Sneaky Pete Buttigieg. Hey, listen, Miranda Devine's book is out today. It's called Laptop from Hell, and it was over a year ago, before the election in November. Actually, it was just about a year ago, a year and two or three weeks ago. The book, the Hunter laptop thing, was banned by big tech, by the mainstream media, the fake news. All of them banned it. Nobody could get a hold of the information. It was totally eclipsed. And this is running right up into the election. And that's why she wrote the book. The Laptop from Hell was real. And we were not allowed to avail ourselves of it except if we read the New York Post. You couldn't get it on Twitter, Facebook, or any of the mainstream news media outlets, the fake news media outlets. And it had an impact. It really did. And so to help Miranda Devine, today her book is out, Laptop from Hell, folks. You got to support people like Miranda Devine. She's going to be on the program later this week, right?
Thursday at 7:40, and a week from tonight at Beach Cafe on 2nd Avenue is her book signing party. Promises to be a who's who of big-time people. I'll be there, obviously. So Miranda Devine is very excited, to say the least, Bernard, about this morning, and very thankful you just did that, I'm sure.
But just to remind people of how the election was completely and totally rigged back in November of 2020, before Election Day, because of this, just listen, and this is the media covering for Joe Biden. He lied at every turn when he was asked, and now it's been documented. He met with these people. He was going to get 10%, the big guy. He was going to get office space with a Chinese firm, blah, 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 blah. He met with Tony Bobulinski, all this stuff. Listen to Joe Biden just flat out lie, and the media spun for him after he did lie. Take a listen to this.
President, how many times have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings. I have never discussed with my son or my brother or anyone else anything having to do with their businesses, period. And what I will do is the same thing we did in our administration. There will be an absolute wall between personal and private and the government.
Do you stand by your statement that you did not discuss any of your son's overseas business
dealings
with him?
Yes, I stand by that statement.
And got away with all those lies.
Oh, yeah.
And remember the picture. Look at this photograph. He's pictured with the Burisma executives during that question and answer session you just listened to. He denied ever speaking to any of these people about their business dealings. He's pictured golfing with the Burisma executives, the guys from the Ukraine, and his son.
Yeah, the four of them.
Look at this photograph. That was hilarious back then when Trump put that meme out. And then so you have to buy a Miranda Devine's book and remember what they did so they don't do it again. He who forgets history is doomed to repeat the same mistakes in the future. And then there was this. There was Trump in the middle of this boycott of this news that Miranda Devine writes about in Laptop from Hell, the book that's out today. This is right in the middle of the boycott. Trump is debating Joe Biden and the moderator. And the same thing comes up. And Joe Biden, confident that he's being, you know, they're running interference. The media is running interference for him. So confident that he makes these assertions during the debate, and the moderator helps him out. Just listen to this.
If this stuff is true about Russia, Ukraine, China, other countries, Iraq, if this is true, then he's a corrupt politician.
Right.
So don't give me the stuff about how you're this innocent baby. Joe, they're calling you a corrupt politician.
Nobody's calling you. President Trump, I want to stay on the issue of race. We're talking about the issue.
Laptop from hell.
President Trump, we're talking about race right now, and I do want to stay on the issue of race. President Trump,
you have to respond to that.
Please.
Because look,
very quick.
There are 50 former National intelligence folks
50.
Who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plan. They have said that this is has all the character. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except his and his good friend Rudy Giuliani.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
That's exactly what
is this
that's
where you're
exactly
going?
What
this is
told.
Where he's going. The laptop is Russia, yes.
Gentlemen,
Russia.
I want to stay on the issue of race.
Now, you can't forget that, folks. That is very important. That was October 22nd. That was like a week and a half before the election day, and he got away with that. And the moderator, I want to move on to race. Trump, do you disavow the KKK for the 99th time? Remember that. The election was rigged. The book is very important, Laptop from Hell by Miranda Devine, out today. And she'll be on this program on Thursday.
Yes, a big day on Thursday. Miranda Devine and Bill O'Reilly. But a big day today, too, because after Bill O'Reilly's morning message coming up next segment, you get Bo Dietl coming up at 7:40. Then, of course, Lydia Reports coming up at 8:25. A real scientific breakdown of the Omicron with Dr. Nicole Sapphire, Fox News, coming up at 8:40. Star of Real Housewives of Atlanta. Big book signing in New Jersey today. Portia Williams in the 9 o'clock hour. And Beat Bernie, your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug. All compliments of our dear friend Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders coming up at 9:40. So a very, very busy Tuesday show.
Very, very busy, and we'll be 1-800-848-9222 on the Bernie and Sid Show. We'll be right back.
Bill O'Reilly here, and I'm warming up from the NRIA.net studios in New York. Stand by for the O'Reilly Update Morning Edition. On this Tuesday, Christmas music is back all the time on certain radio stations and in many stores. There are still 26 days before Christmas. So this music, constantly played, can drive you crazy. Now, I know we're not forced to listen, but Aunt Emma wants a holly golly Christmas. She loves Mariah's All I Want for Christmas Is You, Elvis's Blue Christmas, Crosby's White Christmas. Aunt Emma may draw the line at Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. At least I hope she does. You don't hear that many Christmas carols, standards like Silent Night, Joy to the World. You don't hear them on the radio. No. It's George Michael's Last Christmas, Don Henley's Please Be Home for Christmas, Madonna's Santa baby. One of the absolute worst. So, I am a Grinch on this Christmas song overplay. I do not want to hear many of these terrible songs, but I do want you to have a very nice Christmas season. And please don't get run over by a reindeer.
Right now on 77 WABC, stay informed with Bernie and Sid in the morning. Then at noon, it's Charlie Kirk. And at 1:15, it's Britt Kelly on 77 WABC.
Kelly's version of Elvis Presley's Blue Christmas, and I played this here because I was just reminded yesterday by my dear friend, the great oncologist out of New Jersey, Dr. Jimmy Orsini, that in 2 weeks on Thursday, Bernie, December 16th, Jimmy and his wife, me and mine, and Stephen Van Zandt of Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band and his wife, the six of us, are going to see Andrea Bocelli at Madison Square
that
Garden.
Is terrific.
This How
is,
great
this,
a night is that?
I mean, this is beautiful right here. I mean, honestly, he's just... I got to do an edible and sit there
That's
and...
That's what I'm going to do. Maybe two.
Enjoy the hell out of it.
And Van Zandt loves him, too, so... Remember, I went to see Sebastian Maniscalco at Radio City with Van Zandt and Jimmy a couple years ago.
That's right, that's right.
Now we're doing Bocelli coming up in 2 weeks, once again, thanks to Jimmy Orsini and Stephen Van Zandt.
I like what I hear. Stevie Van Zandt, by the way, he has a book out. I don't know if you saw him. I saw him on...
He's tough on Bruce.
I think I saw him on Bill Maher. Yeah, he was very, very upset with Bruce.
Very, very upset with
Bruce.
In fact,
the only reason why he went back with Bruce after he split up was for the money.
Needed the money.
Yeah, pay me. If you pay me, I guess, yeah.
He's going to come on with us the week that he's coming to the show with me, or I'm going to the show with him, and he'll tell us more about all that stuff. Bruce Springsteen, and of course he played Silvio Dante, did an amazing job as a consigliere on The Sopranos. And at his own show, Lilyhammer, which was really, really good, which Chris Mamondo was in. So he is a very, very talented guy, a loyal guy, a good guy. We'll have Stephen Van Zandt on in 2 weeks.
All right, so you have Omicron out there, right? And I didn't know this yesterday, but I saw this yesterday. I didn't know it yesterday morning. I saw it later in the day. Dr. Fauci actually talking about perhaps threatening lockdowns, believe it or not.
I saw this.
I saw it last night. I couldn't believe we're going to repeat the same mistakes twice. At least he's threatening. Take a listen to what he said.
Should we expect to be seeing more lockdowns again, new lockdowns, more mandates?
You know, I don't know, George. It's really too early to say. We just really need to, as I've said so often, prepare for the worst.
No, the answer is no, we're not. We've learned from our mistakes. It doesn't work. We look at Florida. They didn't lock down, and the comparable amount of cases, hospitalizations, to New York, who locked down and ruined the economy. I mean, what are you kidding me?
Somebody wrote a very good op-ed in today's New York Post about what you just said. Now, be careful again. I know I do this all the time. When you say we learn from our mistakes, we don't know that yet. Because if some idiot politician out there listens to Dr. Fauci, which is entirely possible, if not probable, then we haven't learned from our mistakes. We've learned, you and I, but I'm not sure America's
right,
learned.
Right. Oh, no. Yeah, and yeah, is it a mistake? I mean, what are they up to? What is the – just look at the data. Look at what happened. Look at the psychological trauma that kids have suffered, the setback in education that they've experienced and the mask wearing and all this stuff, the suicides, the depression, the overdoses. Good God almighty. Yeah. You want to do this again for something that is very, very mild? I mean, this is what you're talking like, this little rat skunk. Well, Governor DeSantis, he stepped up yesterday and he said, nuh-uh, not in my. And by the way, Joe Biden has no authority to do anything. All right. It's all up to the individual
governors,
states.
That's right. We know for the whole Donald Trump thing.
That's exactly right. Donald Trump says, well, I'm going to do this. They said, no. It's our job. And they were right about that, and they're right, and that's the case now. DeSantis yesterday saying this to Fauci's threats. Take a listen.
And let me just say, in Florida,
We will not let them lock you down. We will not let them take your jobs. We will not let them harm your businesses. We will not let them close your schools. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. The lockdowns didn't stop COVID. Forced masking, they said last year, would end the pandemic if 80% wore masks. Many more than that were wearing masks, and it hasn't worked. They said you could get COVID off surfaces, which isn't true. They've not been honest about the origins of the virus, and they haven't been forthright about natural immunity.
Everything he said. This guy, I have to tell you.
No, I love him, too. You actually know who's hanging out with him right now in the state of Florida?
Who's hanging out with
him? That's right.
Besides his wife, who is...
It's a pretty good guess. I would imagine she's probably there, too.
Wasn't she Miss Florida or something?
No, that was
like
Marco Rubio. His wife, Miami Dolphin cheerleader. Or maybe DeSantis' wife, too. I don't know.
Something like that.
Okay. No, it's the governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy.
He's hanging out with...
he's down in Florida right now, so I'm not sure they're hanging out, would it surprise you?
Can you believe this? Nancy Pelosi just bought a $20 million estate. She's going to retire, not to San Francisco, not to the capital of smash and grab looting and feces on the floor and needles all over the place. She's going to retire to the state of Florida, believe it or not. Nancy Pelosi. It is pretty sickening. They just flaunt this stuff in your face. I ain't San Francisco. I'm out.
She going to South Florida with Dan Bongino and Ben Shapiro.
I'm sure she ain't going to the Panhandle.
Clay Travis.
Bro.
Travis. Yeah, okay, good. Christmas music as we celebrate the last day of November. December starts tomorrow. Now just a little over 3 weeks away from the Christmas holiday. Today, of course, day two, night three of Hanukkah. One quick note, Ralph Napolitano, my buddy from Ann and Tony's, Bernie's buddy too, up in Arthur Avenue in the Bronx, points out that Max Scherzer will make $43 million for the Mets this year. The entire Baltimore Orioles payroll this year, $37 million. So Max will make $6 million more than the whole team.
Which team again? Say
the Baltimore Orioles.
Baltimore Orioles. Yeah. Wow. The rich get richer.
Yeah.
And sometimes these teams, as I recall, I think it was a Tampa Bay team that actually
won a World Series. Of course,
won a World Series. Yeah.
Marlins too. Marlins too.
I mean, sometimes
doesn't work out.
Well, you root for teams like that. I mean, do you not?
Of course.
You root for the underdog, right?
Of course.
That's why you play the game.
That's right. Now, no team has ever spent $300 million in 1 year. The Dodgers have come close three times. But if the Mets end up bringing in Clayton Kershaw, another outfielder, and a reliever, they'll go over $300 million.
But here's the thing.
He's got Cohen, so.
Scherzer is just so much fun to watch.
He's awesome.
So exciting.
Awesome.
And by the way, it's not about Tampa or Baltimore or whatever. It's about Mets versus Yankees in New York.
There you go.
If you ask me.
I'm with you 100%.
We got an exciting team. That's what we have.
We got the better team right now. Our next guest, I believe, is a friend of Met owner Steve Cohen. Knows him at the very least. Spent the better part of three decades as a hero cop here in New York City. Is a tremendous actor. I mean that sincerely. Tremendous. Whether it's Goodfellas, The Irishman, Wolf of Wall Street, Gravesend, Godfather of Harlem. We're about to shoot Gemini Lounge together in Los Angeles next month. And, of course, the most important part, the better part of three decades, a dear friend of both me and Bernard. Here he is, great Bo Deedle. Good Tuesday morning, Bo.
Well, happy Hanukkah to you there, Sid, and Merry Christmas
Thank you.
To all my friends. And you got me. All I can say is you got me, Sid.
What do you mean?
You're becoming some kind of an actor. You're obviously someone that knows great talent when you see it.
Okay.
I was stuck on my friggin' TV set all day Saturday and Saturday night with Yellowstone. All I say is that is the best series on TV.
Right.
You said it first. You got me captivated.
Did you actually watch the newest episode, 8 o'clock on Sunday night after, or no? You just on the weekend on Saturday.
I was watching. I don't know if I came in the middle. All I know is they kidnapped the kid. They got him back.
Yep.
And then last night I started watching series four. And this is when they came and shot everybody. Everybody gets shot.
Yep.
Boy, they got some heavy duty equipment there. This is an exciting series. And all I got to say is, it's violent and it's entertaining. And thank you for steering me into it, Sid.
You got it, Paul. You got it.
You know, we've been talking today about this punk Hunter Biden, what he's getting away with. I'm telling you, from my eyes that saw the laptop at Rudy Giuliani's apartment, all this is totally true. And when the FBI hit Rudy's apartment, Rudy offered up these laptop, Hunter Biden's laptop. They refused to take it. What reason? In these laptops was all the evidence needed to indict Biden and his uncle and everyone else. Miranda Devine is all over this. This is a great book. This should be an investigation by the United States Congress. I hope we take it over and the Senate, and this should be investigated. Even the business guy, Tony Belinsky, said to Jim Biden, Hunter's brother, how are we going to get away with this, with the Chinese deal? And the punk Biden, Jim Biden, says, plausible deniability. Whatever the hell that means all you do is deny it and you get away with it. This is also when Biden had no shot in hell becoming the president, hiding in this basement. So he was preparing himself for a little business action after he lost and got out of office. But he didn't know he was going to win. And this is going to haunt him, and it should haunt him. I really give her a lot of credit to Miranda.
She put a lot of work into it. She was part of the reporting over a year ago initially, and which was boycotted, as we and you have pointed out in the past, by big tech, by big media, just before the election, which is why I and a lot of people say the election was rigged before Election Day, Bo Dietl.
1,000,000%, Bernie. And in reality, you said it. That is the most important point. The media has been hiding this. No one's interested in this. The same as when this kid was tried over there when he was acquitted. No one cares about the real facts of this case. It was all tried and fudged up. Then Saturday morning, I watched that Sunday morning on CBS. I like that with the birds at the end, the nature and all that.
Waterfalls.
Crap, right?
I like it too with Jane Pauley.
That Face the Nation with the girl who looks like she chewed on a hand grenade with her teeth going all different ways. But in any case, I watched Sunday, and when they were talking about the new virus coming, and Fauci sat there and lied and lied and lied. And all he was talking, now they're saying, China's actually saying, well, it didn't come out of the wet market. Well, where the hell did it come from? From the Martians? It came out in a lab, and it should be another congressional investigation of where the hell this virus came from. And all arrows point to the Hunan lab. And why did they shut down the whole Providence, but let them get on planes to the United States and to Europe? These should be all investigated. People died. And I'm calling for a congressional investigation. I hope we take Congress back and the Senate back. That would be the first course of action. Also, why is Fauci, this little punk midget, why is he talking about January 6th? He's not a politician. You're supposed to be follow the science, you little punk. So follow the science. You don't know the science. I think he must have cheated on his science exam because he doesn't know what the hell he's talking. Don't wear a mask. Wear a mask. I don't know. All he does, yeah, he thinks he's an actor. That's what he is.
Don't go on a cruise. Don't implement a travel ban. No, not a good idea. Now it is a good idea. Who knows? He's wrong about every flip-flops on a whole lot of things.
Well, they're actually saying today that we are demonizing him, just so you know. Republicans and the GOP and people like Bernie, Sid, and Bo Dietl, we are demonizing a man that has devoted his life to helping people.
Facts,
how about that?
Facts are a really difficult thing, aren't they?
The facts really suck. Facts really, really suck. Well, listen, the good news is, Bo, is that when you look towards 2022, which is now just about a month away, you could look back at 2021 and say, hey, we're in good hands with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Well, Joe Biden, first of all, now we got this Governor Hochul, whatever her name is, all of a sudden she's going into a panic. First of all, if you listen to the prime minister of the medical thing from South Africa, it's a very light type of virus. My point is they're going into full panic mode. So if you had to get your face reconstructed, Sid, with that plastic surgery, all elective surgery is off, Sid.
That's it?
You can't get the face job. I'm telling you right
now. Starting Friday.
No, I see. I don't get the face lift. I go for Botox and filler. In fact, I'm going tomorrow. You can still do that, Bo, but no face lifts, no boob jobs, no butt jobs, none of that stuff. That's over. Done.
No liposuction.
Right.
All I could say is that she's such a panicker right away. Shut up and see what the hell's going on before you panic. And I can't wait for this other case, this little punk, this Jesse Smollett. He should go to jail. All the evidence that is needed is gotten against him for a conviction. And we've all followed this. And all I can say is, Jesse, you should go to jail and be with the other fellas in jail. He'll be very happy to be with some big 6'8" guy. He'll be his love doll. That's all.
Yeah, he's just a racist POS is what Juicy Smollett is. Hey, Bo Dietl, I have to ask you about a guy who you've pumped up in the past, you admired, we all admire, Rodney Harrison. He's retiring from the NYPD. We thought he'd be the next police commissioner. Why is Rodney retiring, and what do you think of it?
Well, you know what? I didn't know him personally. I've met him a couple of times. He was very, very cordial. If you want to talk about a person being a nice person, that's the reputation Rodney Harrison had. As far as what's going on with the new mayor, I don't want to talk about it, but there are things that are going into play right now. I just would rather not talk about it because, I agree with a lot of things, and maybe I don't agree with a lot of things, and I don't want to premature
Okay. I like that. Well, hey now. So when this year marks the return of the best party of the year, every year, which is the Bo Dietl Christmas party, will Eric Adams be at that party with me and Bernie?
Well, he will be invited, and you guys are going to be invited. You know, I like the party right before Christmas, and I will let both of you. And Bernie, I hope you're feeling better, and I hope you'll be there, Sid. It's going to be an afternoon starting at 5. I won't tell you where right away, but it should be a really good one, and we're going to unload, and we're going to have a great time. And you know what it's all about? We're coming out of, out of the dark ages of this pandemic. That's how you have to look at it.
What?
Remember the dark ages?
What are you talking about?
Something was invented.
No. Bo. You're not watching the news? Omicron, we're all going to die. What are you talking about? We're all going to die.
I'm going to be partying, and Sid, maybe you'll have one drink with me.
Maybe
two.
There you go.
Okay. But the point is, we have to think about happiness and positive, because if we listen to these schmucks and we listen to the governor and idiot Biden, they want us to all, you know what it's all about? It's all about controlling the people.
That's right. You can't
do this. You got to do this.
That's right.
That is part of the communist socialist playbook. Telling people, the population, what they can do and what they can't do. But you know what the newest going to be? If you're working in an office, you got to hold your hand up. Can I go to make pee-pee, please? This is what they want to do. They want to control it.
And
our guy, Chris Cuomo, Fredo. Oh, my God. Do you believe he was helping the Love Gov? I just can't believe it.
Well, I mean, look. It's his brother. I mean, look, he's a lowlife and a bad guy. We know all that. But I'm not going to hold it against him for helping out his own brother. I mean, come on. When your kid commits a crime, you're like, not my child. So he was loyal to his brother. I can't knock him for that.
Yeah, you know what? Like always, Sid, you're the voice of reason. You're right. You'll never turn on your kids or your family. This is true, what you say. And that's why you should support this Miss Maxwell. She wasn't a pimp. She just brought the young girls in there for Clinton and Epstein. And that's all going to come out. And Prince Fredo, he was getting all the chicks, too. This got to be investigated. She should go to jail. She's a pimp with all the young girls there. She corrupted them. End of story.
There it is. End of story.
All right.
End
Lock
of
her
segment.
Up. Lock her up.
Ah, Bo Dietl.
As usual, great segment. Great appearance. Thank you, Bo.
It was great. And we look forward to hearing about the details for this big Bo Dietl Christmas party, which we've celebrated in the past, me and Bernie. And it wasn't one night, I can tell you that. It was, sometimes 4 days. Anyway, 1-800-848.
Good times.
Oh, really good times. 848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Still to come, Lydia reports, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, Fox News, Portia Williams, the star of Real Housewives of Atlanta. She's got a big book signing in the city this afternoon and in New Jersey later on tonight. And, of course, Beat Bernie, only halfway through this great Tuesday edition of Bernie and Sid.
Celebrating 100 years of real New York.
77 WABC.
Real New York.
I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. I saw three ships.
You know, one of the stories that we haven't really covered yet today, and it's a big, big story. I just saw our good friend Vivek, who, Bernie, got to give you credit. You actually had him come on this show a couple of months ago. He's very, very good. Very smart guy.
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Very good. High-tech guy. Jack Dorsey stepped down yesterday as CEO of Twitter. Now, he was one of the guys that co-founded Twitter. I don't know if you folks realize that, back in 2006. And he did step down once before for about 18 months, came back, and that's when he had this new look, this new bohemian look, which is, it doesn't work for him.
He just looks like a drug-addled zombie.
Couldn't agree more. So he steps down, and the markets loved it because the stock went through the roof, literally through the roof yesterday morning as soon as he announced he was stepping down. But I don't think about the new guy that's replacing him. But do we know why he stepped down? Or?
I don't know why he stepped down, but the new guy is, he's their current, he's a high-level executive there. His name is Parag Agrawal.
A what?
That's right.
Jewish.
That's right. So anyway, yeah, he actually is, if you thought Jack Dorsey was bad.
Oh, boy.
This guy's actually, he's worse. He's to the left.
No,
of
he's
Jack.
Not.
Yes, he
Stop.
Is.
Stop. Because I was thinking this morning, maybe the guy that replaces douchebag Dorsey actually lets President Trump come back to Twitter.
You would think, but no, it's going to go the other way. Dorsey is out. He's got more money than God. I mean, who needs a headache? You know, let's just go out there and chill. Either way, this guy, one tweet of his has already surfaced, and he was talking. This is the tweet, quote, "If they're not going to make a distinction between Muslims and extremists, then why should I distinguish between white people and racists?"
Oh, he's an idiot. God.
So already we're into into third rail territory with this.
Well, that reminds me of just horrible. You talk about horrible people. I don't nail these politicians as much as you do. And when you do it, it is deserved, by the way. I'm not knocking you. But this this person from Minnesota, this Omar, who was in this fight with our hot gun-toting Colorado, Lauren Bobbitt, she does the same nonsense, you know, that Bobbitt hates Muslims, and she doesn't hate Muslims. She hates you, and so do I. I hate you, too. I don't hate Muslims. I hate you.
Right. We hate you because you're an ingrate, and you're actually, you know, look, you're almost an ISIS bride, for God's sake.
She
is. The way you talk, anyway.
Wasn't she the one who said a couple of guys did a couple of bad things? That was 9/11?
That's exactly her.
I mean, come on. Come on.
And other things. All, you know, the Jews and all that stuff. Yeah, she's a bad person, and good for Lauren Boebert for calling her out. Apparently, Lauren actually phoned her.
Called her, yeah.
Yeah, they were on the phone together, and Omar hung up on her.
Yeah, it went bad. I guess she called her to fix it, and it got worse.
First of all, Lauren, I'm surprised. Why even try to reach out?
With
the olive branch with these animals? They don't want any. They will cut you no slack, quarter whatsoever from these people. I mean, she should have known that. She's a smart lady otherwise.
Oh, but she tried. What are you going to do? There's an old Jewish expression, which my grandmother Ann, who was a horrible person, used to tell me all the time in Trump Village, and she would say, F them. And in this case, F her. Omar. So nice try, Lauren. We still love Lauren, though. That's a real American there.
That's a firebrand
there. Well, remember Dana Lesh wrote that book, Flyover Nation?
Yeah.
That's her. Like a real American, you know? Not like these New York Americans.
These are some tough Midwest ladies. Gun-toting, America-loving, fearless ladies.
Right.
They got more balls than half the males on CNN and MSNBC, these two ladies. And they're ilk. People like them. There's a lot of them out there.
Put a cap in your ass. And not on accident. Not like a Dick Cheney cap in your ass.
Bob?
What? Hello? Although he shot somebody in the face, right?
He did.
Aye, aye, aye.
A friend. Yeah. My bad.
Oh, boy. 8 o'clock hour coming up next. Lydia Reports and Dr. Nicole Sapphire on the most exciting show on radio. We are Bernie and Sid.
Again on Christmas Day, on Christmas.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the
Come on, who is this? Is it Burl Ives? Or?
Go with that.
Who is this?
I think it is Burl Ives.
I'm not falling for it this time.
Well, just I'm genuinely,
honest,
I'm genuinely clueless.
It's Johnny Mathis.
Oh, Johnny Mathis. There he is. Now you're Burl Ives spinning in his grave. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app. You know that they released some of the videotape of Andrew Cuomo, and it was actually amusing, him sparring with some of the questioners. Did you go on a date with this girl? Well, how do you define date? You know, stuff like that. It was, how do you define date? You asked the question. It was just funny, and he was combative and just angry, and he looked a little bit, like a mob boss. You know what I'm talking about? He wasn't taking any stuff. So the news this morning, or last night, yesterday, was that CNN has made an announcement that they're going to decide Chris Cuomo's fate in the next couple of days, believe it or not. And he was on the air last night, did not address any of it. But what he did say, I think, was very telling. I think he's going to get fired. And the reason for that was because of what he said. He went against the fake news narrative of hyping this whole Omicron variant, this whole fear-mongering nonsense, this crap with this mild variant, which really has hospitalized nobody. And, I mean, they've identified, like, what, 100 cases around the world or something like that?
And for the Fed chief, Jerome Powell, to come out and say there's a very good chance this will pose serious economic danger. Your Fed chief, Jerome Powell, to say that yesterday, based on what you just said, is absolutely unacceptable.
And that little creep Fauci, too, talking about, well, we can't rule out lockdowns right now. What are we talking about lockdowns? Everybody relax. Let's wait and see. I mean, so far, so good. It's probably covered by the vaccine. It's very mild. I saw one doctor posit this theory, which is that it may actually accelerate the end of the pandemic, in that it serves as a sort of a vaccine itself because it's so mild, because that's what a vaccine does. You get a little bit of the vaccine in you, and therefore you become immune. So you get a little bit of the this variant. You suffer a scratchy throat, a headache, 2 days, and then you're immune. You have natural immunity, and therefore more people are immune with the vaccine, with natural immunity. So that was his theory, and it sounds plausible to me. So for these people to be freaking out is nuts. But back to the point, Chris Cuomo, again, bucking the trend of the fake news, the lefties, the mainstream media, hyping this thing. This is what he said last night about the Omicron variant. Listen.
Now, I will take a little bit of a different than a lot of other media. I don't know that it helped this Thanksgiving holiday to have the media blasting word of this new COVID variant, Omicron. Of course, the information is news, but the timing, the tone, the hype goes way beyond that which is justified by the urgency at this point. We don't know that much.
Now, that's weird that he would, you know, all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's going to be calling the mostly peaceful 2020 summer riots peaceful protest. He's going to be calling the riots.
I don't think he'll do that. I mean, even Joe Biden said yesterday there's no reason to panic just yet. So, listen, I don't understand why Cuomo still has a job there. I knew when his brother was the governor it made some sense. This guy gets $6 million a year. That's a lot of money. His ratings are awful. His brother has now been removed in very humiliating fashion. He's got his own issues. So I can't think of one reason, outside he's good looking, so what, one reason to keep Chris Cuomo on the air. Not one. Not one.
No.
A lot of money, no ratings. His brother's gone in an embarrassing fashion, and he's got his own issues.
Yeah, there's no.
Why are they going
to
keep him?
No reason to keep him. That's why my prediction is that he goes. And again, he's auditioning for some sort of moderate or conservative outlet by saying what he said last night. I think that's an indication. But what the hell do I know? Did you hear about this Disney Plus, this Hong Kong? They put out the Simpsons in Hong Kong, and there was one episode that's missing, and it was about Tiananmen Square. They had a joke on it. The Simpsons actually traveled to China to adopt a baby, and while they were there, they saw a sign in China that said they went to Tiananmen Square, and it said that this, on this site in Tiananmen Square in 1989, nothing happened. And that's the joke. So
right.
China doesn't like that because obviously something did happen in Tiananmen Square, the tank and the guy that stood in front of it.
It was a disaster.
It was a disaster. But Disney Plus took it off their Hong Kong streaming service to suck up to China, and they're getting a little heat for that. But speaking of, you know, bad-mouthing China and showing some guts, this guy, Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter, he's the center for the Boston Celtics. We've been talking about him for a long time. He became a citizen yesterday, and his name is now Enes Kanter Freedom. And he was giddy yesterday. He was all over, as you pointed out, CNN in the morning. And he was on Fox News at night with Tucker Carlson, believe it or not. And again, he talked about the, you know, his colleagues, his fellow athletes, cowardly athletes. Listen to him.
There are so many, you know, athletes, so many actors, so many celebrities out there who are scared because if they criticize China, obviously they will be affected. You know, their endorsement deals, their contract or their, you know, their money will be affected. And they're scared to say anything. But to me, you know, human rights, democracy and freedom is way more important than everything they can offer me. You know, morals, values and principles are the most important thing in life. So to me, I wanted to stand up for my Muslim brothers and sisters who are in, you know, concentration camps, are getting tortured and raped every day. And I don't care whoever said which organization or which company. I don't care about any of that. I care about to be the voice of all those innocent people out there who don't have a voice.
It's about perspective. We live here. We take it all for granted. These people, he knows, his family's living under tyranny in Turkey. They can't leave the house under house arrest. And it, again, it's as we talked about before, it's people who come from these places that really appreciate this country, you know, warts and all. Warts and all. They just want to teach you the warts in school these days. But this is the greatest country in the history of civilization. And people like that, Enes Kanter, realize it. And good for him for calling out his fellow athletes, these spoiled people who just have no clue whatsoever. I mentioned Juicy Smollett is on trial. Here's the tweet that Kamala Harris put out. This is in the middle of the whole Juicy Smollett investigation before he was exposed as being the racist liar that he is. This is what Kamala Harris tweeted. Juicy Smollett is one of the kindest, most gentle human beings I know.
Oh, God.
I'm praying for his quick recovery. This was an attempted modern-day lynching. No one should have to fear for their life because of their sexuality or color of their skin. We must confront this hate. That's the genius bimbo.
Although the two guys that he hired to kick his ass will be in court today. I believe they're in court today. And they will admit, I believe, that he gave them money to make it look like he was actually attacked. So it doesn't sound like it's going to be a very good day in court for Smollett and Kamala Harris and Robin Roberts later on today.
Good Morning America was gross. Robin Roberts was disgusting, even when it was clear that we knew he was lying. She did this, you know, kiss-ass interview with Juicy Smollett, a racist, a flat-out racist. He's charged with felony disorderly conduct. Excuse me, charge him with a hate crime. What he did, I mean, he was almost inciting, a race war, for God's sakes. And he was smearing Trump supporters is what he was doing. It was more than just a publicity stunt. There was politics behind the whole damn thing. There's no question about it.
And we had issues, and as we've had for many, many years, since Ferguson, Missouri, and BLM, and he was just adding fuel to the fire. And folks like Robin Roberts should be ashamed of themselves. They really should.
And CNN yesterday, I read that tweet talking about Waukesha. It turns out that, no, people have not forgotten about it. I mean, not everybody has anyway. I didn't hear anything much about it over the Thanksgiving weekend. Well, there was nothing going on. There were no shows, whatever. And yesterday, I came in yesterday morning. I'm like, are we supposed to forget about this thing all of a sudden? Well, people have not forgotten about it because a lot of people talked about it yesterday. CNN put out a tweet on Sunday that a week ago today, a car plowed into a crowd. A car plowed into a crowd? Are you kidding me? That's CNN speaking of being ashamed of themselves. But none of these fake news people, these mainstream media people, they will not address it for the most part. Your boy Chuck Todd did talk about it a little bit on Meet the Press. I'll get to him in a little bit.
Did he?
But first, the fake news, they have no problem calling out this guy, by the way, this Darryl Brooks, a white-hating black nationalist, a BLM supporter, who, by the way, praised Hitler in his social media. Do you hear any of that on the news? I don't think you do, right?
Never.
But the fake news, again, when white people commit crimes, They're quick to call him out. A white man did this. A white man did that. A white man did this.
Here's a suspect, okay? He's a 21-year-old white man.
This 21-year-old white male mass murderer.
The suspect in custody is white.
Police say a 28-year-old white male carrying two handguns crashed a stolen truck into a building.
It's humanizing the shooter once again.
Yeah.
And can I point out that the shooter is a white man who is alive after they knew that he had killed eight people?
Gayle King, another racist in the vein of Robin Roberts in the morning. And then you got a lot of people sitting there watching. Yeah, 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 yeah. And Anthony Mason. Yeah, Gayle. Yeah, 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 Gayle. Yeah, yeah. What you said, Gayle. Yeah. Now, in the wake of the Waukesha massacre, they had they could not utter the fact that he was a black man. A black man mowed down six people. He mowed down an 8-year-old boy and a bunch of dancing grannies in a Christmas parade, for God's sake.
Jeez.
This Hitler-praising multiple felon who was out on bail on $1,000, by the way, for running over a black woman.
Yes.
Is this social justice? He ran over a black woman in his SUV, and they said, let him out on $1,000. Do you not care about black women there, Milwaukee DA, whatever the hell your name was? Anyway, listen, this is the fake news in the wake of the Waukesha. They cannot say, they cannot identify the guy by the color of his skin like they can the white man. Take a listen.
And with that tragedy in Wisconsin where a man drove his SUV into a Christmas parade, at least five people were killed and more than 40 injured.
We learned today that the driver, now facing intentional homicide charges, was out on bond after he allegedly punched the mother of his child and intentionally ran her over with the same vehicle at a Milwaukee gas station earlier this month.
NBC News has confirmed that the person of interest, the driver in this case, his name is Daryl Brooks. He's 39 years old. From Wisconsin right now. So far, he's not been charged with a crime. He's just being called a person of interest.
So we just can't forget about it. We just cannot forget about the Charlottesville. A car didn't plow through a crowd in Charlottesville. It was a white supremacist that
did
it. And we talked about it, admitted it, highlighted it, and talked about it for months until the guy was convicted. And so you got to do the same with Waukesha. I'm sorry. You just have to do it. Now, Chuck Todd did talk about it on Sunday morning, though not in the in the framework of bail reform, how bad it is, this so-called bail reform. No bail, essentially, is what it is. Not in that sense, but he talked about it in political terms, did Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. Listen to what he said.
In this anecdotal instance, this guy was out on $1,000 bail from committing serious offenses.
We can see the TV ads already being made. In fact, we saw them made in 1988.
He's
wow.
The TV ads.
Chuck.
You know what he's referring to in 1988 are the Willie Horton ads.
Oh, Willie Horton.
It is the Willie Horton ad. Now, this is Bush 41. And by the way, Roger Ailes was involved in that Willie Horton thing, which was they let a murderer out on the weekends in Massachusetts. He was running against Dukakis at the time. They let a murderer out, and that guy committed murder while he was out on the weekend.
Right, right.
And so this is what, and they used that as a commercial, and back then they said, that's racist, because the guy was, the perp was black. Well, excuse me.
He was a murderer.
He was a murderer.
Guess what color he was.
And you let him out.
Right, idiots.
And so that's what, you could see the commercials being made now. God. So anyway, that's your takeaway from the Waukesha incident, the commercials being made now. One last thing, for laughs, is that this Kathy Hochul. First of all, you have Tom Suozzi. He's a congressman from Long Island who we've had on the program. He's kind of an amiable guy, and he's got a great pedigree. You know, he's a war hero dad and brothers and all this stuff and a great story. And he would probably make a Democrat, a halfway decent governor, probably. But either way, he's not going to run again because he's reading the tea leaves. There's going to be a red wave in November, and he knows it. He knows it that the guy George Santos is going to run against him this time, and he's going to win. He won by a whisker last time, but this time he's going to lose, so he's going to run for governor, and he's going to try to prevent a woman from being the first governor of the state of New York, or a black female from being the first governor of the state of New York, or a black man with a handicap.
Right.
Jumaane Williams with Tourette's. I mean, what is Tom Suozzi, some kind of white supremacist? Why is he trying to stop this progress?
Well,
I guess I'm a white supremacist, too, because I don't want to see any one of those three people win either. God, no. Not Kathy Hochul, not Letitia James, not Jumaane Williams. No thanks.
Tom, how do you like it when we use your party's line of logic against you? Huh? How do you like that, Tom?
Not so good, do you? Not so good.
Anyway, Tom Suozzi threw his hat in the ring, and he may very well hand the primary win to Letitia James by draining votes from Kathy Hochul.
Right. That's
a possibility. But either way, Real Tina is running against AOC. And as I mentioned, for laughs, she posts all kinds of things. She was talking about Kathy Hochul and her stupid, idiotic state of emergency here in New York and no more elective surgeries that we talked to Bo Dietl about after Friday. Listen to Real Tina.
So Kathy wants to shut down or did shut down elective surgery for the new strain. Yet, Kathy, you're the one that f***ing put mandates on everybody for their jobs, okay? So I thought it works, right? I thought it works. Now this new strain comes out of nowhere. Kathy, give me a f***ing break. You're just a power-hungry f***ing c***. There, I said it, motherfucker. F*** out of here.
No. You think that helps her getting for them to take her seriously? Or
I don't know. I actually miss her. I think I want to book her this week and put her on the show. Why not, right?
Why not?
Yeah, let's get her back on.
She's mounting a serious campaign against AOC, as serious as you can get. AOC owns the district because you got a bunch of idiots living in that district. But she's being very aggressive and getting some traction.
Real Tina. All right, coming up next, talking about aggressive and traction and good Lydia reports. And then Dr. Nicole Sapphire, Fox News on The Real News about Omicron. This is going to be 40 great minutes. Keep it right here, Bernie and Sid, on a Tuesday.
In the meadow we can build a snowman, then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you...
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
Well, guys, just when we thought gas prices were high, what are they, like $1.50 more than they were a year ago? Analysts are now predicting that they're going to go even higher in a new report. I saw this on CNN. So, you know, if CNN is reporting it, it's getting bad. This is according to a JP Morgan analyst. It warns its clients that crude oil will hit $125 a barrel next year and a staggering $150 a barrel in 2023. Okay, so what does this mean? These analysts are predicting that we will see nationwide an average of $5 a gallon of unleaded gas. And that's not taking into account the taxes that states like New York, Oregon, and California slap at the pump. I mean, this is so outrageous. And rather than reopen the Keystone Pipeline, rather than ask our fellow states like Alaska or even Canada, the whole reason behind this, according to the analysts, is because OPEC simply doesn't have the logistics or the capital to deliver the amount of oil the United States needs. Why are we asking OPEC and Russia or anybody else when we have oil here? We had a fully functioning pipeline ready to go. So you have to wonder, what is really going on here?
You're missing the point, I think, Lydia. This is good. This will curb consumption. We'll have less carbon emissions going up into the atmosphere. And we won't die in, 7 years, 10 years? What's the prediction? This is actually a good thing. So
well,
then
exactly.
People stay home and they won't drive and we'll all be happy and healthy.
Well, I was listening to Buttigieg and he was talking about how electric car vehicles are great, especially for the lower income and people in poorer communities. And I'm listening to him like, so what? You want poor people to rely on electric cars and windmills and solar panels that are not the most reliable. And yet, I know he rides around on his little bike, but I guarantee you he has gas at his home.
Oh, no.
Remember
the videotape of him driving to a cabinet meeting in an SUV, and he got out about two blocks away from where he was supposed to go. Two blocks away, they take a bike out of the back of the SUV. He puts on a helmet, gets on the bike, and rides the two blocks to to wherever the hell he was, the transportation building down in D.C. It was hilarious. No, first of all, these electric cars are very expensive. Very expensive these days. We're not ready for this type of crap. And solar and wind, I mean, we're not ready for that either. We're just not ready for it.
They're not reliable. Solar and wind, it's not reliable. And the solar panels and the electric car batteries, they're made in China. And you know what this reminds me of? So in North Korea, I saw that story that Kim Jong-un, he made popular the leather coat, the leather trench, you know, so like it's kind of like mobster looking. And so he said the reason he's banning it is because he doesn't want the commoners to wear it because they're wearing cheap plastic faux leather imitations. Cause he says the leather coat is only, should only be reserved for the elites. And then I started thinking and I said to my husband, this kind of reminds me of like what the radical leftists are doing to us about energy. It's okay for them to use the gas. It's okay for them to have security, but they want the regular folks like me and you to be reliant on unreliable sources of energy, like solar, like winds, and not to have any police, and so we can die in the streets. And it's like rules for thee, but not for me. It's becoming. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I know I sound a little dramatic, but when they're talking about this two-tier system, it is very North Korea-ish.
Oh sure, you had Biden go to the climate summit. First, he went to Rome. What was it? An 80-car summit, and then he went to Scotland for the idiotic climate summit of idiocy, as the New York Post called it. And the same thing; they had these big, long caravans of SUVs and airfields full of private jets, which John Kerry took, and he says, "Well, I'm fighting climate change; I have to take a private jet." Of course, yeah, it's hypocrisy and double standards. Left and right. These people don't know what they, we don't trust. Do you trust these people to do anything? It's just supposed to come from private enterprise, not from the government from the top down, but from private enterprise on up. That's how you do it. Innovation, make it efficient, make it affordable, and we'll switch to electric. And by the way, so what if the planet in 20 years, the temperature rises 0.4 degrees? Who gives a rat's ass?
Well, it doesn't matter when you have China, they're firing up their coal plants. And I don't know why the government is trying to act like it's our father, like our strict father. They want to be our daddy. In Spain, you saw there that they never implemented a vaccine mandate. And yet 90% of the population is vaccinated there because they used persuasion incentives. And here in America, it's like vaccine mandates. You have to be vaccinated. And then you got Hochul, like you, I heard Bo Dietl before, postponing elective surgeries. We're going to see, we saw it during the pandemic, and now we're seeing these side effects from it. People that didn't get the surgeries, didn't go to the doctor, they have cancer, it's progressed, and all of these domino effect issues that are happening because of they're using the virus. They're using now the energy. They're using the masks as political pawns to control us. And that's ultimately what this is about. They have this ultimate control and they don't want to give it up.
What if some lady has a like one of her fake boobs starts leaking?
Uh-oh.
She can't get it fixed. Now she's got one boob sticking out and the other one is leaking. I mean, this is not right.
Could be a disaster.
This is wrong.
Right. Yeah, what if she's working on her traps and her quads like Sid and it pops?
Uh-oh.
While she's bench pressing.
You know,
Sid,
in all seriousness, there's a lady on Real Housewives of Atlanta. Her name is, she's on Potomac. I got confused. Her name is Dr. Wendy. But she gets about as much plastic surgery as Dolores. And Portia Williams is going to join us at 9 o'clock from Atlanta. And that's all these girls do. I mean, every other week they're going to Dr. Joseph Michaels and Dr. Karolak and Dr. This and Dr. That. So these girls, for them, we're kind of joking about it, and for others it may mean losing their jobs, which is not funny. But these girls, they live for that. Now, that's all they do.
When the alternative is go to the gym, just keep it tight. For example, you think Halle Berry does that stuff?
I don't think so, no.
No. I mean, and that's the real answer, not all this fake.
She did look great in that movie, I'm telling you. That
movie elective surgeries could even be like a knee replacement. They could determine that's elective surgery, and people could be in pain.
You're right.
Speaking of Portia, I'm very disappointed she's not going to be on Real Housewives of Atlanta. She's promoting her new show, right? Her family show with her new husband,
yes,
the
Portia,
rich guy.
Portia Family Matters. But she's really here today to promote her book more than the show because she's got a book signing at Barnes & Noble and in New Jersey tonight.
Yeah. Are you surprised I know that, The Pursuit of Portia?
No, I know that you know all the housewife stuff. I keep telling you we should do a podcast together, you and I.
Yes, I'm down. And I also, because I have that Faith and Family podcast, I want to get the number of that psychic, and I want to talk about, like, the other world, like the spiritual realm.
Oh, Gina. She was on with me and Bernie, that girl?
Yes.
She was great. You got it.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Hook me up. Thank you. You should also do a podcast about your workout regime.
We could do
both
that, too.
Both of you.
In fact,
both of you. I'm serious. Both of you have, like, really, for no offense, for how old you are, you're, like, in really, really good shape. And to be up this early in the morning and to have all this energy for 4 hours straight, it's remarkable. It's really good.
You say that to all the fellas, Lydia. Come on.
I tell it like it is. So tune in 5 o'clock tonight. John Katzmatidis. We're going to have Alan Dershowitz on. He's our constitutional scholar. And, of course, he'll be talking about this issue, crude oil and inflation, stagflation, all of that. We'll break it all down and make it into common sense so everybody can understand what is really going on here in America. So 5 o'clock, Katz tonight.
We love Lydia Serrani on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Great song. So I'm not feeling any better, so Mike Sullivan has recommended. All of a sudden, he's Dr. Mike Sullivan, that I get a Z-Pack today, so I just called my doctor. I'm getting a Z-Pack, so. I mean, I'm fine. I've done the show. The show's great. People say I look great on TV, but I don't feel great. So I'm getting a Z-Pack.
No fever, though, right?
No fever. Nothing. Able to work out, able to run.
Well, what is just...
Just heaviness in my chest and coughing and a little bit of sneezing. That's it. Able to do everything else and do it well, by the way. But I'm going to try the Z-Pack today, see what happens.
Do you think you're going to die?
Yes.
Eventually that'll happen.
No, maybe sooner than later. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's hope.
Because if this doesn't kill me, the Omicron will. Unless Dr. Nicole tells us something different. She is a big-time doctor at the biggest cancer center in the country. She is a 2-time big-time author, Make America Healthy Again, and Panic. And, of course, now, she's a, not now, but for years, one of the senior correspondent stars on Fox News and a frequent guest of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show, the lovely Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Dr. Nicole, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Can I just say something? You just perfectly described all the symptoms of COVID. Have you gotten a test?
Well, I've already had COVID, though, and I've gotten double vaccinated, and I got the antibodies.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean,
Did you get a test?
What? No, why? Should I get a test today?
Well, yeah.
You can't get COVID twice, can you?
Wait, you had COVID already?
Yeah, I did.
You can. Of course you can.
Where was I?
We were out. We were both on vacation. It was in August. I had it for 2 days. I had the Delta variant. I was fine. And I didn't feel well for like 2 days. And then I was back at work a week and a half later. But you're telling me I can get it again?
First of all, let's good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Hanukkah.
Hey, Doc.
Thank you. Hi, Doc.
So COVID, you know, first of all, vaccines, boosters, and natural immunity, nothing's 100% foolproof. I don't care if you've gotten 17 boosters. Your chance of getting COVID never gets to zero. The best we could always do is just reduce our risk.
I know, but you get the common cold, you get the flu, the Z-Pack has nothing to do with it. Why does it always go back to the COVID? I have no other symptoms.
Because COVID is still circulating, and while it may only cause a cold in you, it could be deadly in someone else.
Oh my God.
You want to make sure you're not spreading it to anybody
else. I'm going home. See you tomorrow.
There you go.
By the way, the flu could be deadly to someone else.
Right.
As well as even a common cold in you could cause pneumonia in someone else. So we always recommend, you know, you want to know what you're dealing with. And, you know, the virus that causes COVID-19 happens to just be highly transmissible. So especially right now, it's always would behoove people to get a test. They're accessible. You can go to CVS, pick one up. You know, it's information. I'll never shame you for having information. Information's always a good thing.
Well, if you'll excuse me, Dr. Sapphire, I'm going to leave the studio for the rest of the morning. Thank you for that assessment.
Yeah, there you go.
No, listen, Dr. Sapphire, let's hope that's not the case. And, I don't think it is, but either way, we'll follow up on it. But Dr. Sapphire, the Omicron variant, yesterday we were playing and they played it all day. Dr. Coetzee from South Africa, no reason to panic. It's mild, no severity, 2 days, scratchy throat, a couple of coughs, and everybody's fine. What do you make of this Omicron variant and the hype?
Well, great question. There is a lot of hype around that. And really, this entire pandemic, a lot of it has been hype, which is why we talk my book called Panic Attack, right? Because a lot of this has been more fear than facts. And especially when it comes from Omicron, you know, we have a lot of conjecture right now. We have a very little information to go on. So, but let's talk about what we know and what we don't know. First of all, variants are completely normal. We expect them to emerge while we don't have global immunity, which is why I've said many times over the last year that it is extremely important that the United States helps less wealthy countries build their immunity by giving them vaccines that are affordable and accessible. Because like South Africa, they have a vaccination rate less than 24%. That it's not a surprise that a variant emerged from there. What we know is this alerted health authorities because they had a rise in cases in South Africa. That's a good thing in my opinion, because it wasn't that there was more severe illness occurring or it wasn't increased rate of deaths. It was just cases. And it was a bunch of cases in college campuses. So younger individuals, and they were reporting fatigue, muscle aches, but not shortness of breath, not loss of taste and smell, which in my opinion, that's a good thing. So mild symptoms. Now you have to remember these were in younger people. And we know though that younger people tend to get more mild illness. So we have to remember that little caveat. The big concern is the scientists have identified about 32 mutations in this variant. Well, you have to remember, Alpha, Beta, and Delta, those all had about 10 to 15 mutations themselves. Now this Omicron just has a combination of many mutations. So will it evade our vaccine immunity? Will it evade our natural immunity? And these are all still big question marks. The good news is it's not going to make it so the vaccines and natural immunity don't work at all. I can tell you that. But is it possible that maybe their efficacy decreases a bit with it? You know, it's definitely possible. And I'd say it's probable. But again, just like I said earlier, this isn't about getting to zero risk. This is about lowering our risk the best we can. Right. So our existing immunity and living our healthiest lives are what are going to continue to lessen our risk from a severe outcome from COVID-19.
Nicole, I feel like it's never going away. There's going to be a new variant in a couple of weeks and a couple of months, and whether it's Delta or Omicron or the next one, this is getting ridiculous. It's just never going to go away. You got the Fed chair, Powell, saying today that there's a real good chance this is really going to cause huge economic issues. I mean, come on. It's like it's never going to go away.
Well, the only reason it's causing severe economic issues is because we're letting it. Let's go back a century ago to the influenza pandemic. It was a big deal. But since then, we have gotten vaccines and we have gotten treatments and we've gotten the ability to test for flu. That's what's going to happen with COVID-19 at this point. This virus is becoming endemic. We already have vaccines. We have boosters. We have treatments. And we have the ability to test for it. So once that we as a country, as a globe, change our mindset into accepting that this is going to be a level of normalcy at some point, we will be able to move forward just like we have with influenza, because we have flu season and people go get their flu shots. And now we're going to have flu and COVID season and people are going to go get their flu and COVID shots. And it's really about a mindset. We have to make sure that we continue to do what we can to protect the vulnerable. And with that is continuing to evolve our vaccines, evolve our boosters, make sure that they are as strong as possible against the emerging variants. But this is what we do every single year with flu. So we will get there. It just is about changing the mindset to get there.
Yes, indeed. Dr. Nicole Sapphire on the Bernie and Sid Show. Doctor, I read this theory posited that if this Omicron virus variant is as weak as they say it is, you know, and mild, it essentially will serve as sort of a vaccine itself. In other words, people will get it, they'll experience mild symptoms for a couple of days, get over it, and then they'll have natural immunity, and thus will hasten the end of this pandemic and turn it into the endemic that you just alluded to. What do you think of that theory?
You know, I actually really felt that way with Delta. Delta was so highly transmissible that I said, whether you're vaccinated against it or you're going to be exposed to it at some point. So I think the natural immunity in our country jumped through the roof through the Delta wave. And is it possible Omicron's the same? You know, maybe. I mean, at the end of the day, no one's going to live their life in without being exposed to this virus. So the best we can do is just make sure that we are the healthiest we are, and it would be great to have some existing immunity in case we do. But ultimately, we will all be exposed to it, and that's just what it is going to be. And the more highly transmissible the virus, the more people exposed. All we can hope is that the virus remains to not emerge to be more severe or more virulent, which thankfully these variants tend not to be. They tend to be weaker because, listen, viruses want to live. They don't want to die. If they kill their host, they die too. So they evolve. They're smart. So they evolve to become more contagious and oftentimes less virulent or less severe. And that's what we've seen so far.
All right, Nicole, I need your recommendation here. You've got kids. You're a great mother. You make a mean breakfast every morning, by the way. So my son, Gabriel, you know, he just turned 13, just got bar mitzvahed. And he was diagnosed with dyspraxia as a little boy. That's obviously physical. But he's got some respiratory issues. He takes Singulair every night before he goes to bed since he's like 4 years old. But he's okay. Thank God he's a normal kid. Anyway, he got the COVID back in August, too. And then about a month after he got the COVID, we got him his first Pfizer shot. And he ended up in the hospital. He ended up with a heart rate of 133. His fever has spiked to 103. And now I'm deathly afraid to get him his second shot. I can get that exemption, obviously signed by a doctor, and move past that. Or do I take my chance and get the second shot? What would you do if Gabriel was your son?
So, great question, and certainly a great question for his doctor, seeing as they know him. But on a whole, I can tell you that I wrote an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal a few weeks ago, specifically addressing this question. It was titled, "Should You Vaccinate Your 5 to 11-Year-Old?" You know, I have two kids in that age group. And for me, if a child has already recovered from COVID-19 within the last year and they have circulating antibodies and natural immunity, the data really does support, the data doesn't necessarily support that vaccination in the presence of natural immunity provides any benefit. We certainly know by looking at blood tests that it boosts their antibodies, but we know that the cellular immunity or the more long-term immunity from that natural infection is likely protective enough in this very low-risk population. It shouldn't be a one-size-fits-all. For me, I also think that it is important that pediatricians and physicians and parents consider a single dose vaccine, as we see that actually the far majority of side effects happen after that second dose. It's not surprising that your son had side effects after the first dose because he already had circulating antibodies in his system.
That's
so
right.
That vaccine, that first dose actually acted like a second dose in him. So I would have the conversation with the pediatrician about potentially not having the second dose because he's already functioned as having a second dose. He had natural immunity plus the single dose. Of course, the official recommendation out of the CDC is the full two-dose vaccine series. However, I think that when you really look at the data, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It shouldn't be so rigid. It shouldn't be so black and white. And I think especially in that age group in males, you should be considering single-dose vaccines. And if a child's already recovered from COVID-19, I'm not sure that there is enough data to confirm there's clinical benefit of vaccination in the presence of natural immunity.
So, Dr. Safar, on the way out, yesterday we had the spectacle of Joe Biden holding an Omicron press conference flanked by Kamala Harris and by Dr. Fauci, the three stooges there. I mean, not exactly inspiring confidence, but Dr. Fauci had said on Sunday that if you attack him on his decisions, you're attacking science. There's a little bit of politics here. You work for Fox News. What do you think of Fauci and those comments?
I mean, so in medicine, we are supposed to be humbled. We are humbled by disease processed. We are humbled by miracles, and we're humbled by our patients. So for a physician, a medical doctor, to say that they represent something in its entirety is exactly the philosophy that we try to steer away from. And I would love to say that it was taken out of context, but I can say that he has turned into a, you know, maybe some of this publicity has just gotten a little to his head these days. I would say that there is no single person that is the face of science. And that is the thing about science, is it's out of everyone's control. And the best that we can do is act as servants and messengers to evaluate and interpret data. But ultimately, none of us actually represent science itself.
Dude, gotta go.
Two great books, Make America Healthy Again, Panic Attack, Fox News, senior correspondent, a great guest, and a great lady. Dr. Nicole Sapphire, as always, great job here today. Thank you so much, and happy holidays.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a great day.
You too. Dr. Nicole Sapphire. We'll take a short break. When we get back, a very exciting 9 o'clock hour to come your way. Beat Bernie and one of the major stars of the Housewife franchise, Real Housewives of Atlanta, in town for two book signings. She's got a new book and a new TV show. The very entertaining Portia Williams from Atlanta with Bernie and Sid is coming up on the other side.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
All right, back on the Bernie and Sid in the morning show, fourth and final hour. So you know, of course, that I am the king. Screw Michael Rappaport and Jerry O'Connell. I'm the king of the housewives. Certainly, the relationship with Dolores and the New Jersey girls, Margaret, the last couple of years. In fact, Margaret and Joe Beningo will be here on the Radiothon coming up December the 17th. Certainly helps with all of that. But one of my favorite housewife franchises is in Atlanta. And Portia Williams is a huge, was at least, on that show. She's got her own show now. She's a big, big star. And she's in New York because she's got her new book out. It's called The Pursuit of Portia. She's got signings at noon today at Barnes & Noble on Fifth Avenue here in Manhattan. And 6 p.m. tonight at Bookends in New Jersey. And her own show, Portia's Family Matters, premiered Sunday on Bravo. She has 6.6 million followers on Instagram.
Get out of here.
Ain't even playing with you.
Come on, yo.
Let me say this. That's six times the amount that Teresa's got. Anyway, here she is, former star of Housewives of Atlanta, now just a mega U.S. superstar, making her debut on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show, Portia Williams. Good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Can I just record that and just play that every morning when I wake up?
I feel great.
One great intro.
Thank you. It's all true, though. You really have become a huge, huge star. And I remember watching that show early on. You may have been married to Cordell, even at that point. I think you were. You're right. He was the Steelers quarterback. He was on the show. Kim was on the show. And all these other folks. What's happened since that show started, Portia, in Atlanta, again, with the book coming out now, your own TV show, has really been a testament to how entertaining and fun you are. So congratulations.
Thank you. I'm definitely feeling blessed.
So, Portia, listen, the book is fantastic. We're looking forward to reading it. The Pursuit of Portia, it's released today. The signings are at 12 o'clock today at Barnes & Noble, 5th Avenue in Manhattan, 6 o'clock at Bookends in New Jersey. And we just want to get that out of the way. You're going to be appearing again, Barnes & Noble, noon, 5th Avenue, Bookends in New Jersey at 6 p.m. But, Portia, listen, tell us, why did you leave The Real Housewives of Atlanta? That one of the more, exciting
franchises, sure.
Successful, yeah. And also contentious as well.
Yep.
A lot of brawls, a lot of fights. But why did you leave that show?
You know, I've been on there since I was 30 years old. I'm now 40. It just was time for me to live some life off of camera, and off of on that particular platform, and just really kind of be Portia for some time. So I knew that I was going to do it. I knew that it was going to happen this year. It was already set up about 2 years ago that I was going to be leaving at the 10th year.
And Cynthia Bailey left as well. So things are not, Nene's gone too. So not exactly the same, that show, as it used to be. But regardless, you know, I think that a lot of the fans of The Housewife, Portia, they really wanted you to be happy. And it seemed over the years watching you couldn't find it. Couldn't really find that happiness. You had bad relationships, all this stuff going on. We just want to see Portia happy. So now, with your new family and your book, can you honestly say on this winter morning in New York City, Portia Williams, you're finally happy?
I love that you said that, and that just speaks to the name of the book, like The Pursuit of Happiness, The Pursuit of Portia. I am definitely
joyful. I'm definitely happy. And like you said on the show, yeah, they were on a journey with me looking for happiness everywhere outside of myself. But, of course, in writing this book during the pandemic, you know, to love myself is to know myself was to love myself. And once I really took account of my life and my journey and accepted my faults and everything about me imperfectly, you know, I have found to love myself, and I am really standing in my truth. And that is what the book is about, and that's what I hope to inspire other people to do for themselves.
You hear her, ladies and gentlemen, on the Bernie and Sid Show. Portia Williams, a lovely lady. The book is The Pursuit of Portia. And again, 12 o'clock today, Barnes & Noble,
I'm going
Fifth
to
Avenue.
I'm gonna be
Sid
there.
Will be there.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, bookends.
I cannot wait to meet you.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And bookends at 6 o'clock tonight. That's in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Portia, in the book, you do talk about some ugly things in your past, and one of them is your relationship with R. Kelly. Without revealing too much, I guess, you were a little bit traumatized by your relationship with him. He's on trial right now, if people are unaware, for ugly, ugly sexual matters. But tell us about your relationship with R. Kelly.
You know, definitely in this memoir, I wanted to be 100% honest in order to, you know, be effective in the purpose of the book. And that's to really open up in different situations I found myself in with men. And, you know, it does speak to the R. Kelly situation, but there are many faces, other faces in the book that I do speak about. And I really hope that story, in which in the book I go in great detail, about that, a girl would read it and she would see that at that moment, I did not know my worth. I did not love myself enough to make the right decisions for myself. I was accomplished. There was no reason for me to have found myself in those situations, but I have forgiven myself and I've moved on and now understand the choices that I made. And that's why I wanted to be very detailed and speak about R. Kelly and other people in that book. So that a young girl could see herself and make a different decision and turn a different way.
That is awesome. Portia Williams, again, The Pursuit of Portia. So as I mentioned at the top of the conversation, I used to be good friends with Dolores and a few other girls in New Jersey.
Oh,
I still
I love Dolores. Too.
Yeah, she's cool. Mm-hmm. But long story short here is that I just watched that Ultimate Girls Trip, you know, and you had New York in there, you had Orange County, and for some reason, Ramona, who was very difficult to like, by the way, she kept calling Kenya Portia throughout the whole show. Did you see that? And what is the history there between you and Ramona? What's the problem there? What's going on?
Lord, I don't, you know, maybe she was missing me. You know, I was originally supposed to do that show before they asked anybody from Atlanta. So I don't know. Maybe she was just sensing my spirit in the building or something. Maybe I should get a check for that, too.
You should call Andy Cohen this morning and say, every time my name is mentioned, I want royalties.
Give me a ching. I know Kenya didn't like that. Sorry, baby.
Yeah, so that's funny. Portia Williams on the Bernie and Sid Show. The book is The Pursuit of Portia. Portia, you also have a new TV show. You left the Real Housewives of Atlanta, but you have a new TV show, Portia Family Matters. It premiered Sunday night on Bravo. I did not see it. I'm guessing it's another reality show. So you pretty much went from one to the other, no?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm so blessed to be able to executive produce my second show. My first one was Portia's Having a Baby. And now this one with my entire family, you know, the show is definitely about blending. You know, I have a new fiance, Simon Gulbadi, who has children, and I have a child, and I have an ex-fiance and my mother and my whole family. It's about love and heart. You know, I think somebody will be able to relate to us. Each person in my family. It's going to be a roller coaster for sure.
That's going to be fun. So wrapping this up, and again, check out Portia. I'll be there too. I'm going to go meet her at 12 o'clock today at Barnes & Noble on 5th Avenue. All right. And then 6 o'clock tonight at Bookends in New Jersey. The Pursuit of Portia. What do you want to do after this? Now you got the book. Now you got your own TV show. Monster star in Atlanta, 6.6 million followers. What's next after all this for Portia Williams?
I love this space that I'm in. I love every part of it. I would love to continue now as an author and write a second book. I would love to continue to produce television shows and get content out there that I'm behind. I just want to continue the blessings. I want to have more children. Looking forward to getting married and enjoying my little daughter, Pilar. It's just, I want to stay right here in this happiness.
All right. Sounds good.
Wow. You know, your happiness is infectious, Portia. I got to tell you. Portia Williams, the book, again, The Pursuit of Portia. Again, Barnes & Noble at noon on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. Bookends in Ridgewood, New Jersey at 6 o'clock tonight at New Jersey.
Yes.
Go check Portia out. She's a nice lady. And her Twitter handle is at Portia for real.
That's Instagram too, yes. At Portia, the number four real. Mm-hmm. Add to those 6.6 million followers. Well, it's nice to speak to you on this show today, and look forward to meeting you in about 3 hours and continued success. You're a sweet girl, Portia, and we're very, very happy for you and Bernie and Sid. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a quick lunch, and I'll see you in a minute.
And by the way, Portia, this will be the best interview you do all day. You can tell Arts hears that.
I already feel it.
All right, baby. Talk to you soon. See you soon. Portia Williams right here on Bernie and Sid. So there you have it. There you have it. The R. Kelly stuff is wild. And she was married to Cordell Stewart when he was the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You remember Cordell?
He certainly was a pretty
good quarterback.
He certainly was. Yeah. Well, she has an interesting history in the past and a great outlook.
She does.
Like a very lovely lady.
She is. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We'll break early so we get some more meat and the news. Get some of that coming up next segment before we go to Beat Bernie coming up at 9:40. And we'll take a contestant for Beat Bernie coming up next segment, too. Lots of news and your chance to win money on this, the Tuesday edition of Bernie and Sid. And my phone is blowing up. People love that interview. Thank you very much. More of Bernie and Sid on a Tuesday right after this.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know?
Right now on 77 WABC, stay informed with Bernie and Sid in the morning. Then at noon, it's Charlie Kirk. And at 1:15, it's Brig Kelly on 77 WABC.
Hit it.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. Whose dulcet tone voice is this?
This would be Michael Bublé.
Well, good for him. He suffered a horrible, horrible tragedy. Lost a son. Good Lord. Can you imagine at like 4 or 5 years old? Anyway, we're also simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, Newstalk 107.1 FM. You can watch us also on your smart TVs, on your computers at wabcradio.tv. You can. And we talked a little earlier. The Ghislaine Maxwell trial is it's taking place right now. So is Jussie Smollett. A couple of interesting things about the Ghislaine Maxwell. First of all, it's not interesting. I don't feel any safer that she's in jail or is facing, 80 years in prison. I really don't. And, she was grooming people for a rapist, essentially. I mean, I don't know what she did. Drag them by the hair to...
She did take advantage of young girls, and she, probably lied to them and told them they'll have a life of luxury and boats and cars and money. And instead, they were massaging this creep and having sex with them. So, look, what she did was gross. It was gross, but... Again, she's not exactly, give me somebody who was like a really, really nasty, disgusting, somebody who like abducted girls and...
Ilhan Omar.
Yeah, that's perfect. Go with her.
Yeah.
There you go.
But here's the thing. And by the way, if she knew anything about the Clintons, don't you think she would have given them up by now? She's been in jail for
like
18 months. But here's James Comey's daughter is one of the prosecutors. James Comey, who let Hillary Clinton off the hook... in the summer of 2016.
Remember it well.
And also the judge in the case is an Obama appointee. So this whole, remember, it was Obama's Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, who met Bill Clinton on the tarmac in Arizona to discuss letting Hillary off the hook with James Comey. It was just like 2 weeks before James Comey let her off the hook, Loretta Lynch. So anyway, the thing kind of stinks is what I'm trying to say. Juicy Smollett, he's federal disorderly conduct charges. This guy, he's just a racist acehole. He needs a big-time ass-whipping is what he needs. And people like, what's her name, Robin Roberts and Gayle King, these people who sucked up to this idiot, they should be exposed. Kamala Harris, who put out a horrible tweet. Matter of fact, I have the tweet right here, Sid Rosenberg. This is what Kamala Harris tweeted. Jussie Smollett is one of the kindest, most gentle human beings I know. I'm praying for his quick recovery. This was an attempted modern-day lynching. No one should have to fear for their life because of their sexuality or color of their skin. We must confront this hate.
Right now.
But she said nothing about Waukesha.
No.
Waukesha, Wisconsin. She said nothing.
No.
She actually urged people to bail out these rioters, these thugs, these looters that threw bricks at cops. I mean, she's not. What hate is she confronting? You know who's confronting hate?
Who?
Governor Ron DeSantis.
Yes, that man is, yes.
Yesterday, I was wondering, did we all forget about Waukesha? Well, yesterday, I was heartened to see that a lot of the conservative outlets, they didn't forget about it. I didn't see anything on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. I wasn't really looking that much, but it seemed like everybody had forgotten about Waukesha, this Black Lives Matter supporting black nationalist, this racist, this who actually praised Hitler on his social media. I mean, again, Charlottesville, that tragedy where a car rammed through people. Yeah, it was a car. It was a white supremacist in the car driving that rammed through the crowd that killed a girl. And they focused on that forever. And they got into his motives and where he lives. But nothing about this guy, Darryl Brooks, who was out on $1,000 bail for, by the way, running over a black girl. And they let him out. The white DA says, you know what? He ran over a black girl, $1,000 bail. Is that social justice? Well, he cares more about the thug with his, 50-page rap sheet than the black girl that got ran over? Apparently he does. I don't know how these people are not called out on it. But Ron DeSantis was all over it yesterday. He was talking in front of, speaking in front of a bunch of law enforcement officers. And this is why I love this guy. I mean, it's not necessarily germane to Florida, but didn't stop Ron DeSantis. Take a listen.
Is that how it works? The SUVs, they just drive by themselves? This just kind of happened? And they say, oh, this was a big accident. You never actually hear the discussion about who committed this. What was the motivation? This guy was a career criminal, let out on, didn't really have any bail, basically. Should not have even been on the street. Had clear anti-white animus, and this was an intentional act. And it seems like, for corporate press, they're more apt to characterize a parent who goes to a school board meeting to protest bad policies as a domestic terrorist than somebody who intentionally rams an SUV into a crowd of innocent people.
I mean, if that guy wasn't a terrorist, then who the hell is a terrorist? Yeah, the parents screaming, hey, don't teach my kids to be racist and to tell them that they're bad people, et cetera, et cetera. Ron DeSantis also, he in that same speech, he talked about the lockdowns. We're not going to lock you down. We're not going to let them take your job, harm your business, close your schools, none of that stuff. And that was great. But still, on this Waukesha thing, he said more, and it was very interesting what he said. And, just take a listen.
Let's just be clear. This was not a car just driving in. This was an attack by a felon who did that, who should not have been on the street. And we'll see what the actual motivation was. Very well may have been in response to what happened with Kyle Rittenhouse. And you have to wonder if that's the case. Almost assuredly, this guy's view of Rittenhouse was colored by all these media lies. He brought a rifle across state lines. That's a lie. They said that the initial altercation with Jacob Blake, that Blake was unarmed. That's a lie. They covered up Blake's criminal history. And first of all, when you're self-defense, it doesn't matter, kind of what race. Most people didn't know that he shot three white people. So that's what the media has been doing.
the media is complicit. And complicit is what they are in this tragedy, this massacre. Not even a tragedy. It's just this terrorist act by this Daryl Brooks, and they won't talk about it. They will not talk about it. Similar to the way they didn't talk about the laptop from hell, which, by the way, Miranda Devine's book is out today.
And she's talking an awful lot about it, ain't she?
It's called, Laptop from Hell, and she should be, because it was a year and a month ago, that big tech and the media decided, well, this is going to hurt our candidate, so we're gonna just censor the whole damn thing, which is why the election was completely rigged in November of 2020, before Election Day, because of this, because of the laptop from hell. And if you don't believe me, folks, I have to harken back to this debate, October 22nd, Trump versus Biden and the moderator, that's right, versus two people.
Who was the moderator then? It wasn't Guthrie, was it?
The girl on the NBC.
Oh, Kirsten Welker.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Let's move along to racism. Let's not talk about this. So Trump was absolutely, he just couldn't believe it. And you'll listen to this clip, and it hits home now how rigged everything was. Biden citing a bunch of intel chiefs and a letter they wrote, all fake lies, all crap. And he, emboldened by the fact that the media was boycotting this stuff, he got away with it. The people watching believed him and made Trump sound stupid. But in retrospect, Trump was right on the money.
If this stuff is true about Russia, Ukraine, China, other countries, Iraq, if this is true, then he's a corrupt politician.
Right.
So don't give me the stuff about how you're this innocent baby. Joe, they're calling you a corrupt politician.
Nobody. Hey, President Trump, I want to stay on the issue of race. We're talking about the issue.
From hell.
President Trump, we're talking about race right now.
Shut up.
I do want to stay on the issue of race. President Trump,
I have to respond to that.
Please.
Because look,
very quickly.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plan. They have said that this is has all the care. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except of his and his good friend Rudy Giuliani.
You mean the laptop
who's that?
Is now another Russia hoax?
That's exactly what
is this
that's
where
exactly
you're
what
this is
told.
Where he's going. The laptop is Russia. Yes.
Gentlemen,
Russia.
I want to stay on the issue of race.
So remember, that was a big deal back then, and a lot of people believed it, believed Joe Biden. 50 intel people, these are writing letters. They were all lying. They were lying. It was rigged, and poor Donald Trump is the victim of it. I'm not suggesting looking back and relitigating 2020 as a means to victory in 2022 or 2024, but the book is out today. It's worth reading. Miranda Devine's. It's worth supporting her. And if we forget our mistakes, we're doomed to repeat them in the future. And this is why we have to remember what happened in October and November of 2020.
She'll be on 7:40 Thursday morning, the same morning as Bill O'Reilly, Miranda Devine, the aforementioned, with Bernie and I talking about the book. Her book signing was supposed to be today, too, like Portia Williams. But she's sick, Miranda, and she's now postponed it to a week from today. One other note, Michelle Karekis checks in, a big Instagram follower of mine, at rosenberg.sydney, and she said that Michael Bublé's son survived. He's actually in remission.
Get out of here.
And he turned 8 in August. He did not die.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Great news. I
didn't know either way, to be honest.
I put my hand on a Bible and I would have said he's dead.
Yeah, no, I guess he's in remission. He's 8 years old. He celebrated his 8th birthday in August and he survived. So
happy to hear that.
Yes.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
It is time to beat Bernie, and today it looks like we've got a former coworker of ours, Walter in Brooklyn, who used to work at ABC. Walter, it's Sid. Good morning. How are you, pal?
Hey, how you doing, Sid? Good morning to you.
Nice to have you on today. Now, for the listeners out there that don't know, when did you work at ABC exactly? What years was that?
Back in the 70s, before your current owners.
Right.
I started when Lenny Golinson owned the company.
And were you on the air engineering? What was your position?
Oh, no, neither. I was in purchasing.
In purchasing, okay. Well, welcome back to WABC and welcome to today's game. Thank you for playing, pal.
Thanks.
Here is number one, Walter from Brooklyn. Where in Brooklyn are you, by the way?
Borough Park.
Oh, Borough Park. Very nice. All right. Happy Hanukkah. Here's number one. What is the name of the United Kingdom's central lawmaking body?
Parliament.
Yes. Home movies of JFK's assassination were taken by Orville Nix, Marie Muchmore, and famously, who else?
Stone.
Incorrect. The Zapruder film, of course. Abraham Zapruder. Because of his... What is this word here? I mean, I can't see at this point.
Because of his deist beliefs.
Deist beliefs. Who was the Age of Reason author that died a social outcast in New York City back in 1809?
The Age of Reason author. French guy.
No. To quote Joe Beningo, would be Thomas O. The Pain. Number four, prior to Regis Philbin attending the University of Notre Dame, where he majored in sociology, what New York City high school did Philbin graduate from? I'll give you a hint. Same school as Bernie McGurk.
Don't know that.
Martin Scorsese, a bunch of others. That would be Cardinal Hayes High School in the Bronx.
Cardinal Hayes. Yes.
And finally, in 1836, with support from former President Andrew Jackson, what New Yorker was elected President of the United States?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
In 1836, with support from former President Andrew Jackson, what New Yorker was elected President of the United States?
I'm not positive, but probably Benjamin Harrison.
Not a bad guess, but the answer was Martin Van Buren. Tough game today. Only one right so far for Walter.
Today.
Very tough, yes. I'm not sure Bernie's going to do much better, but we'll wait and see. Walter got one right, put Walter from Brooklyn on hold. And let's see how Bernie fares today. How about that?
I think he's going to do all right.
I don't think I'm coming in tomorrow.
Yeah, you are.
I don't feel great, though.
I don't care.
You don't care. Right?
I don't care.
You don't care.
No. I don't care.
If I die, you know, I got to be here. That's it.
Well, I'll care if you die.
Right.
Because then you won't be here.
At all. Forever. Right. I don't know, bro. I'm going to go to this book signing to meet Portia and spread whatever I've got anyway.
Well, Nicole Sapphire was very disappointed in you.
That what?
That you're not taking care of yourself.
Whatever. She wasn't disappointed. She thinks I've got COVID. I've already had it. And I think I've got a cold. Like, God forbid, if you're sneezing and you have a little bit of chest congestion, right away you got COVID.
Well, listen, it is getting cold fast, and people come down with some congestion.
Whatever.
This is how the seasons work.
That's fine. But, I mean, people have a cold, they have a flu. It's not always COVID. I had COVID already.
That's what I'm saying.
And
it's not always COVID.
16 vaccinations, exactly, so... I'm going to get a Z-Pack today after I spread this, whatever I've got, at Barnes & Noble, and rub it all over Portia Williams. Poor girl has no idea. And then I'll go home and rest. And if I don't feel better tomorrow, I'm going to take off. Because Thursday, I like the menorah.
Well, we're going to need a host because we think Bernie fell in the toilet here.
Oh, he fell in the toilet?
Yeah.
He has duty cramps?
No, I don't know what he's doing. But how did what's-his-face do?
He got one right.
Really?
Yeah, that's it. It's a very tough game today. Very, very tough.
I don't know.
He got the first one right. That was it.
One of them I did, you know, write specifically, clearly for Bernard, as you know.
Well, yeah, the high school.
Yeah.
Right. Where is Bernie? Seriously.
I seriously think he fell in the toilet.
Well, why don't we do this? Let's take a break, play some spots, and come back and get Bernie on.
No, he's coming.
Oh, he's coming now. He's coming now. Okay. Where the hell do you go, bro? I mean...
I got pulled into a big meeting.
Is that true?
Yeah.
My God.
Very important.
Chad?
You know, wait till I tell you when we get...
We go to
commercials,
break?
Commercials, yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, you ready to go?
You're in trouble, bro.
So what? What's new?
Actually, I'm in bigger trouble, though.
What's new, bro? Well, yeah, no, you wouldn't be in bigger trouble. That would be news, yes. Two right, you win today, okay?
Let's go.
What is the name of the United Kingdom's central lawmaking body?
Parliament.
Right. Home movies of JFK's assassination were taken by Orville Nix, Marie Muchmore, and famously, who else?
It was Zapruder.
Yes. Because of his deist beliefs, or deist beliefs, excuse me.
Spell it.
D-E-I-S-T, deist beliefs. Who was the Age of Reason author that died a social outcast in New York City back in 1809?
Deist. You got to repeat it quickly.
Because of his deist beliefs, who was the Age of Reason author that died a social outcast in New York City back in 1809?
Age of Reason.
That's right, Bernie.
I'd have to go with, I don't know, French philosopher Descartes.
He said a French philosopher. It would be Thomas O. The Pain.
Oh, yeah, Common Sense, yes, Thomas Paine, right.
Here's one for you. He gave it to you. Prior to Regis Philbin attending the University of Notre Dame, where he majored in sociology, what New York City high school did Philbin graduate from? I even gave the guy a hint. I said, Bernie went to the same school. He didn't get it.
That's hilarious. Of course, Cardinal Hayes High School.
That's right.
Up Hayes and all its loyal men, baby.
In 1836, with support from former President Andrew Jackson, what New Yorker was elected President of the United States?
Marty.
That's right. Van Buren.
Van Buren.
Are him and Trump the only two New Yorkers ever? Him and Trump, right?
No, Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, Theodore. Okay, so 4-1, your final score today. Bernie gets the win. Bernie, say hello to Walter in Brooklyn, who worked at ABC about 40 years ago.
Hey, Walter, what's up? Maybe Franklin, too, by the way. How you doing, Walter?
Hey, okay, pretty good, Bernie. Hey, good going. I misunderstood a couple of questions, but anyway, I was going to lose, period. I didn't know what school you went to. I don't remember that. Even though I listen to you every day, I don't still remember that.
Well, not necessarily. Either way, Walter, A, thanks for playing. Thanks for listening. And B, 40 years ago at Penn Plaza, were you?
No. I was uptown, 47 West and 77 West, 66th Street.
Okay, I'm sure Sid asked you.
By the TV studios.
Oh, the TV studios. I mean, you have a broadcaster's voice.
I didn't work in radio.
Peter radio. Jennings Way.
I was a buyer. I bought for radio, but I didn't work in it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I worked for corporate.
And where are you now?
When Lenny Goldenson ran the company, and then the Irish Mafia took over, Murphy and Burke, and then they sold it to Disney.
Oh, okay. Disney, yeah, that's a stellar company these days. Where are you now, young man?
I am, thank you for the young man. I'm in Borough Park, Brooklyn.
Borough Park, okay. So you're not a religious Jew, are you?
No, but 90% of my neighbors are.
Yeah, it's a great place. I mean, listen, they're not hitting
you. It is a great place.
They're not hitting you over the head trying to take your money. Just keep that. That's what I always say.
No, that's not happening. No. It's a super safe place to live and very peaceful.
Bottom line. Well, Walter, thanks for playing, and thanks for listening, and, good luck.
Hey, listen, God bless and Merry Christmas to you guys.
You too, Walter. Thank you so much. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We'll close out the show the way we do it every day. Your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid is next, but first.
Well, you can play me again tomorrow at 9:40, or you can take a stab at the $1,000 Minute on the other side of midnight, hosted by Frank Morano. Each weekday morning at 4:30, you have the chance to win $1,000 if you can answer 10 consecutive questions correctly in 1 minute. Listen to The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano on the overnights for entertaining and informative talk in the $1,000 Minute.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
I don't know. I invited all these guys to get a quick lunch after the show. I can't do Tacopina and Avra today. I can't do it. I'm going to get a quick lunch, go meet Portia, go home.
Wait.
And go to the doctor.
You're blowing off Joe Tacopina?
I am, yes. I can't do it. 12:30 at Avra. I'll be there till 3 o'clock. I don't feel well enough. Can't do it.
Hey, what, you made a commitment with the guy.
Yeah, well,
he's probably putting on his cologne right now.
Probably so. He wears a lot of cologne, as you know. He's a very handsome guy.
Well, are you even going to let him know, or are you just going to...
Well, he just texted me. I'll see you at Avra at 12:30. I haven't texted him back yet. The disappointing return will be, no, you won't, because
all,
I don't feel well.
You're all dressed up. I mean, you can't let a guy down like that.
I can't?
It's the holiday season.
So I should go see him instead of Portia?
You go see her first.
Uh-huh.
And then you swing over to the joint.
Right, and by 4 o'clock, you can bury me in some cemetery in Manhattan or Brooklyn.
You're starting to sound like an old man. You're starting to sound like me.
Well, and Nicole Sapphire comes on and tells you I'm dying right away. Like, oh, my God, Nicole, calm down. Can't have a cold these days? Right away, it's got to be something, monumental.
It's COVID.
Always COVID.
It's a severe form of COVID.
Oh, this is a severe form.
That's right.
Amazingly, I did the show today with you with the severe form.
What are we going to do with 40 ventilators? I'll tell you what. Give one to Sid.
Yeah, I'll take one right now. Why not? Well, anyway, I'll go myself. That's fine. They make a very good turkey club at that diner across the street. where they have a huge picture, I will tell you, in the back of the diner of me. That's a whole other story. It's surreal and weird to sit there and eat my lunch looking at a picture of myself in a diner full of strangers. It's hilarious, Bernie, hilarious, but it is the case.
This is the place you're supposed to be meeting Takapino.
No, no. Him and I are going to a very, supposed to be going to a very fancy Greek restaurant, which I've been to with my family, Avra, which John and Margot Katsimatidis know and love, on the Midtown East, yes. It's a great restaurant, great.
Well, but it's not happening. Is
no, no, it can't happen. I can't do it. I don't feel well enough. You know, as the show moved along, after Nicole was on, I really started to feel worse.
Now, listen, you keep saying you don't have a fever.
I have no fever, no.
Well, then how could you? I mean, the fever is the thing that makes you feel bad. Everything else is...
Yeah, but it's annoying because like, I feel like I'm sniffly. And
annoying is one thing, but feeling bad...
That's making me tired, and my chest is tight, so I'm not able to breathe as well as I can. I cough every couple of... It's just terrible. I feel old. I feel gross. I know I look great. At least I asked Alec. I said, do I look sick to you? Are my eyes all watery? Do I look sick? And you said no, right?
No, that would be credit of Jen at Dolce Aesthetics.
I have to go see her tomorrow.
At least I'm not sitting in the same studio with you, stuck 4 feet away from you.
Right,
as you,
right.
As you yell at the top of your lungs.
Right.
And spew these particles all over the place.
It's been 2 years of this, though.
I know, it's true.
It's just, I don't know what happens. You know, I live in a very small apartment with my wife and my two children, and all of us had COVID except for my wife. And we literally live, the whole apartment is like the size of this studio. So I don't know how contagious, how deadly, blah, blah, blah. I have no idea.
Doesn't
I can give
matter.
You my anecdotal facts, which show in a very small apartment with three people who had COVID, somebody never got it.
Well, I have a boot. I took the third booster shot, the booster shot.
Well, it was the first booster.
Exactly. So I took three shots already, so I'm pretty much, I should be bulletproof. If not, I'm going to sue Pfizer.
You're going to sue Pfizer?
Yeah. I should, right? If I got it now after taking three damn shots, excuse me, they have immunity. You can't sue them.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I wonder why.
Why?
Because they're afraid. They don't know. It's experimental. That's why.
Yeah.
Who's on tomorrow besides Peter King, who has been Instagramming all day pictures of Max Scherzer in a Met uniform? That's what Peter King is most excited about, just so you know. Who else is on tomorrow?
I think just Peter King has it now.
All right. Miranda Devine and Bill O'Reilly are coming up on Thursday. Dr. Mark Siegel will be here on Friday, plus many more guests along the way, but that's what we've got so far. And listen, there's always always news. Something could happen tonight. Who knows? Miranda Devine, I said, coming up on Thursday at 7:40, right? And then the menorah lighting.
Yeah, is there ever a day when there's no news?
Is Pete from White Plains angry about? I don't want to put him on, but Philip, what's he angry about? Quickly. It says, super angry listener, mad about what was said on the radio.
Oh, he's talking. He was talking about Curtis. I don't know.
Well, what do I care? They're called Curtis.
It's not exactly.
I always tell these people, if you're mad at somebody else on the station, call them. Me and Bernie love Curtis. And we're never going to side with the caller over Curtis, never. No matter what.
Absolutely love Curtis to death.
So, call Curtis. We're done for today. Have yourselves a beautiful Tuesday in New York City. It is cold out there if you haven't gone outside yet today. Highs maybe 40. That's it. A little warmer tomorrow and back in the 50s on Thursday. But today especially, it is a cold day. We're back again tomorrow morning, the whole crew at 6 a.m. on a Wednesday. So from all of us to all of you on this Tuesday in New York City, until tomorrow,
peace.
She's out. About the town to lift the glass.
Oh, no one looked down.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song. They practiced all year long.